exciting prospect.
For a suicide bombing in the Afghan capital, Kabul. More than 60 people are dead and hundreds injured. The BBC's Charles Haviland reports.
Reports from the scene of the blast say it is littered with charred bodies and dismembered limbs. Ambulances have struggled to reach the scene because the authorities had blocked some roads to limit the movements of protesters and protect the presidential palace. The explosion hit a demonstration by members of the Hazara ethnic minority who were marching to protest against a government decision to divert a new electricity supply line away from their provinces.
Meantime, police have described the gunman in Munich who killed 10 people on Friday as obsessed with mass shootings and have found no links to any terror groups. Iris Spitzer reports from Berlin.
The gunman has been identified as an 18-year-old male of Iranian descent who grew up in Munich and had undergone treatment for depression. Investigators found evidence, including a book at his residence, indicating a strong interest in mass shootings. The attack occurred on the five-year anniversary of the massacre by Anders Breivik in Norway that killed 77 people. Authorities believe that could have been intentional. They are also investigating a report that the attacker used a fake Facebook page to lure people to the attack site. Iris Spitzer, Berlin.
Back home, a recount is expected to continue today in the last federal seat of Herbert, where Labor is holding on to a narrowed lead. Labor's Cathy O'Toole led sitting coalition MP Ewan Jones by 9 votes in the contest for the Townsville-based North Queensland seat as of around 6 o'clock last night. But it appears likely Labor or the Liberal National Party will end up taking the final result to the Court of Disputed Returns, arguing for a fresh election. If the coalition can retain Herbert, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull will have 77 seats in the 150-seat parliament, allowing the government to appoint a speaker while retaining an absolute majority. A man has been charged with killing a woman during a robbery of a North Hobart store. Police say the 66-year-old woman died after she was attacked during a robbery at the A&B food store yesterday. A 34-year-old Claremont man has been charged with murder and robbery and will appear in the Hobart Magistrates Court today. A man has died from stab wounds following an altercation with another man in New South Wales' Central Tablelands. The body of the 35-year-old man was discovered by police in a Lithgow home at 9:30 last night while they were responding to reports of a fight between two men. A 27-year-old man was found at a nearby property and has been arrested in connection to the fatal stabbing. And Queensland's RSPCA is hoping to use the Pokemon Go craze to lure in potential owners for abandoned pets. The RSPCA will hold its first Pokemon Go tour at its animal care campus at Wacol in Brisbane's west this afternoon and says there will be a Pokemon Go gym on site. The organisation hopes the tours will allow the pets in its care to get more exposure to potential owners and hopefully find new homes. This is Air News. Parramatta's NRL top 8 hopes are over after falling 34-14 to the Titans last night on the Gold Coast. The 7th place Titans remain inside of their first finals campaign in 6 years after a 5-3 triumph in front of just over 15,000 fans in Robina. Eels coach Brad Arthur says his side fought hard.
They're disappointed that the season is over, but we've still set some standards and expectations of what sort of footy team we want to play like. And I think they tried tremendously hard tonight.
In other games, Melbourne has continued its charge towards a minor premiership with a 26-10 win over the Roosters at Amy Park, and the Raiders beat the Warriors 26-22. West Coast Eagles have posted a 6-point win over Melbourne at Subiaco Oval. The Eagles entered the match as hot favourites but struggled in the slippery conditions and trailed Melbourne by 6 points at three-quarter time. However, the home side booted 2 unanswered goals in the final term to run out 10-6-66. To 8-12-60 winners. The Geelong Cats have ended Adelaide's 8-game unbeaten run, winning by 30 points. And other AFL winners from yesterday, St Kilda, the Gold Coast and Sydney. And Pakistan were 4-57 against England at stumps in their first innings at Old Trafford Cricket Ground today. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather. Sunny, patches of light frost in the outer west, Jimmy. A bit cool this morning. It was getting up, yeah. But heading to a lovely day of 16 degrees. No rain today. Loving that. What about at Terry Hills and at Tamworth?
How can 16 be a lovely day?
Because the sun's out. It's no rain.
Okay, Terry Hills, 14.
It's cool.
Maximum of 14. It was 7 degrees at Caring Bar this morning. When I got up, 7 degrees.
It's three where I was.
Well, you're headed to Tamworth today. Yes. Guess what? Partly cloudy. Maximum 13 degrees.
Oh, no.
Take your woolies.
Midweek racing is fully covered on Sky Sports Radio. This Wednesday from 9:30, get your Sydney preview lowdown with form analysts Paul Joyce and Ray Thomas, plus the latest tab markets. Racing HQ, every Wednesday on Sky Sports Radio.
What you really need is a four-door standard.
I reckon you can't go wrong with a four-wheel drive.
And with a heated leather seat.
Go for the car with the biggest cup holders.
When it comes to cars, every man and his dog thinks they're experts. But the real motoring experts, the ones who judge Australia's best car awards, recently chose the Hyundai i30 as Australia's best small car for an incredible sixth time. Right now, you can get Australia's favourite car, the Hyundai i30, from just $20,990 drive away. Talk to your Hyundai dealer today.
All covered, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
She is out of this world.
There it is! Adam Scott, a life changer.
Coughed it up. Malcheski, snap, and there's your grand final. There's your grand final.
Welcome to the weekend's biggest and best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Let's get into it. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
We are contractually obliged to get into it, so that's what we're going to do up until 9 o'clock, 13:53:53. I reckon we're in for a great show today. We're going to have fun, I reckon, Ray.
Yeah.
You've come up with an outstanding talk topic.
So you actually like it,
absolutely brilliant.
Wow.
We'll release that, not now. We're going to tease people.
Yeah, I thought you were a bit sceptical when I first mentioned it.
No,
you warmed to it.
I'm a bit low energy when you first come in here on Sunday morning. You know, producer Jeremy tells you that all the time, remember? 0419-SMS-BSB. That's 0419-767-272. Get us on the tweets as well, at Big Sports WEND. At Big Sports WEND. I reckon this line's going to run hot today, 13:53:53. Here's what's coming up on the show. Dare I say...
massive.
Well done. straight up, we're going to have our event cinemas quiz. Three questions for that. What do we got? We got the VMAX double pass.
Yes, yep.
Courtesy of Prakash out there at Parramatta.
Great job, Prakash.
Yeah, excellent work. You've called him event cinema manager of the year. He's only been in the gig for about 4 weeks. But...
magnificent start to the career.
Gerald Ryan, winner yesterday for Gerald. Good story around how he picked up Tango Ray.
How lucky
it?
He was. Yeah.
Got the horse on the wrong float and away you go. So we'll talk to Gerald about that. Mike Tomalaris with all the latest from the Tour de France. Chris Froome, it looks like he's going to win his third title there. We'll speak to Peter Snowden. Good story on James Harron bloodstock on Friday in the Daily Telegraph, Ray. And, of course, Peter Snowden, the beneficiary of that. But you add into that Peter and Paul's great training, and you get some standout two-year-olds, don't you? Most notably Kapalos, of course. But what do you reckon? The $30 million value?
Minimum, yeah.
Minimum. Mm. Wow. That's good selection of bloodstock.
Not a bad return.
Yeah, very, very good. Terry Robinson, he trains the swimmer, King's Officer. Most unusual the way he prepares King's Officer for the races, but no doubt about the success that he's having. Tommy Berry said it was all attributed to Terry Robinson's training. So we'll speak to Terry about that. We'll have a chat with Zorb with all the latest in the world of rugby league. As per usual, there's lots going on. We'll have our Z&Z quiz. You can win a Z&Z watch in the team colours of your choice. Our legend of the game is a really great bloke, added to the fact that he was a really, really great player. Gary Badge Belcher. Canberra Raiders, Souths in the Brisbane competition, Queensland and Australia.
Silky skills at fullback.
Oh, great runner. Great runner. Actually, underrated defender. And just a really all-round nice guy, too.
You worked him at Fox,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Great fella. So great to have Gary Belcher on the program. We'll look forward to that as well. Trent Lansko with all the latest from tab.com.au. Dean Bulldog Ritchie will fill us in on what's going on in the world of rugby league also, and we'll speak to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster & Sons. That is the full dance card, and we are excited about that. Guess what? It's back on. Green v. Mundine, $30 million fight. Is what they are saying. So I was there 2006 at Allianz Stadium. Yeah, up in the cheap seats. Big night. I think the Tab held more money on that fight than any other fight in its history.
That's
10 years ago. Yeah. But they're back on again. Green 43, Mundine 41. We'd love to garner from our listeners just how much interest there would be.
Their last big payday, probably, for both.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. And they know it, and that's why they're trying to make it work. Racing yesterday at Canterbury, and, of course, a brilliant day sunshine, a little bit cooler, but brilliant day sunshine, and a pretty good day out. I know we've heard from you a bit earlier, but good morning to you, Ray Thomas.
Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. Jimmy, I've got to ask you about Robbie Farah straight off the first ball. Bouncer, Leichhardt Oval yesterday, smallish crowd, but for a reserve grade game, a New South Wales Cup game, a big crowd, really, and emotional scenes after the game. What's your take on it all? I think it's one of the most courageous calls by a coach, because he's just been lambasted everywhere, left, right and centre. He's such a popular player, Robbie Farah. Has Jason Taylor done the right thing? Well, no, I guess it's 6 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Mm. You know, this game against the Dragons, although it was very important before this decision, it's become
so important,
imperative that they... probably not even just winning it's going to cut it either. You know, they probably need to win it comfortably. It is a very courageous call. And again, you know, whenever I've spoken about this thing, I have to say that I am a personal friend of Jason Taylor's. So
well, put that aside.
Yeah,
as a coach,
I've got to put that aside. Yeah. The coach gets what the coach wants.
The coach can make his own calls on the team he
absolutely.
Wants to select.
Absolutely.
And it is extraordinary that a player can play in a New South Wales Origin winning side.
Yes.
The Tigers have a bye the following week, and his very next game of football, he can't even make the 17 of his own club.
Amazing.
It is extraordinary.
Amazing. But that's exactly what's happened. So it says a bit about New South Wales and their selections and what was available for Laurie Daly. And it also says about, you know, if we hear about, you know, the way Robbie Farah plays and so forth, I don't think it's skill-based, and I don't think it's ability-based. But it's probably more attitudinally based and about him doing what's right for the team. And this is in the eyes of Jason Taylor.
Yep.
And if Jason Taylor thinks that Robbie Farah,
that's his call to make,
his team is going to play better without Robbie Farah there, whether it's, you know, its impact on Brooks and Moses, whether it's impact on Tedesco, whatever it happens to be, if he believes that, whether it's an unpopular decision or not shouldn't actually stop you from making that decision.
Courageous call.
Politically,
it's his call to make. It's his team.
Politically, you have to get through the minefield that it is there. And obviously, it's going to be heavy in the media, which is what we've seen. But, you know, that's why you're paid to make those decisions. Mm. And you don't make those decisions just to so that it doesn't benefit your side or therefore... Mm. Benefit
I
you.
Saying,
you know, you don't make those decisions. Oh, I'm going to hamstring myself here.
Put a lot of pressure on himself, though, because I don't win against the Dragons. It's going to be open season on Jason Taylor, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. He has got the support of the board.
can't say that.
And
don't
the chairperson, Marina Go. But that'll evaporate if the results aren't there. But it won't evaporate if the results are there.
Exactly.
So that's what confronts the West Tigers today and for the remainder of the season. It'll be fascinating, that game at 4 o'clock. It'll be fascinating to see how it plays out against the Dragons. Now they've got their own problems,
exactly,
your Dragons.
Yeah.
They can't score a point. Mm. The fans have turned on them.
Douse campaign's up and running again.
They can just reuse all the old signs from the last three Douse campaigns.
And all of a sudden, the Dragons are cashed up. Where's that come from?
No, no, the Dragons aren't cashed up.
Well, the story in today's paper, they're cashed up chasing four of the biggest names in rugby league. I'm extraordinary.
Well, they're $7 million in debt.
It's extraordinary.
So you can be cashed up, I suppose, if it's someone else's money you're spending. That's how it works sometimes. 13-53-53, take your thoughts on that as well.
Jimmy, as big a story as Robbie Farah is, potentially an even bigger one will happen overnight, our time, when the IOC meets to discuss whether Russia is allowed to take their athletes to the Rio Olympic Games. Now, look, it seems unlikely that Russia will be able to compete, and if the IOC rubber stamp all the reports that they've had for the systemic doping of their athletes in Russia, then they can't let them compete at Rio, which to me is one of the biggest sports stories going around because Russia is such a powerhouse in world athletics.
Of course. There was an interesting article, I'm trying to think who wrote it, might have been Mike Hurst who wrote it. He said, if the Russia go, there'll be an asterisk next to them. If they don't go, there'll be an asterisk next to the winners because Russia weren't there. Oh, I think, you know, I think it's got parallels to the greyhound racing industry, and they're trying to put a blanket ban across everyone. Surely it's done on an individual basis. What about those athletes that aren't actually within the system that
let them compete?
Yeah, of course. And you just test everyone, and this might be naive in saying, you test everyone pre-competition, you test them during competition, and if they're found to have substances that are illegal, then they are stripped or they don't compete. Yeah. It seems strange. I don't know who they are, but I reckon there's clean Russian athletes out there.
Oh, there is.
And so why should they be penalised? 100%.
Did you watch the Four Corners report?
No,
in the week? It was extraordinary. And you have to feel sorry for the athletes who, the whistleblowers in particular, who have just been ostracised in their own country now. But that decision we made overnight, that is huge.
Yes.
Another amazing sports story yesterday. This is the guy who just keeps on giving for newspapers and the media. Stephen Dank. Here he is, almost getting shot. Jimmy grazed his head or something. He's okay. But what's happening there? That guy is just a walking human headline, isn't he?
Well, it's incredible that you contact a media outlet before you get to the hospital.
That's true.
Send a text message, I've just been shot. Ambulance, I'm just about to call an ambulance.
Yeah, I thought I'd ring you first.
Priorities. Priorities. We can make light of it, but it is obviously a very serious situation. Potential perpetrators, tell you what, there'll be a lot of people interviewed.
They're lining up
properly. In all seriousness, there will be a lot of people that would hope that what Stephen Dank knows does not see the light of day. What he fully knows. Now, what he knows and what he doesn't know, you know, that's up for debate as well, and whether he actually kept records of what he was doing.
It seems he hasn't.
Well, either he has,
or he's kept them.
Yeah, yeah, kept them very quiet. Yeah. But there will be a lot of people across both codes of football, the AFL and the NRL, who would be very keen to see that information not reach the light of day.
Agree. NRL, couple of results this weekend. Didn't the Cowboys make a statement Thursday night against the Bulldogs? Probably the most complete performance by any team this season, Jim. Is that a fair call?
They were just never a chance.
Fantastic.
And I'll tell you, played well too in the absence of Jonathan Thurston in the second half. Morgan!
Yeah, he is a star.
Michael Morgan.
And how good were the Panthers Friday night? They were terrific against the Broncos, 31-12, and they're right back in the hunt. The Raiders are in the top four.
Wow.
The first time in round 20 in over a decade.
The Warriors have lost back-to-back Golden Point games.
Yeah, and the Raiders are a bit like Penrith. They're a hard-tack side for their fans, but they've found a way to win again. And the Storm were at their ruthless best, as usual, last night, Jimmy, 26-10 against the Roosters. The Roosters played okay, actually.
That was a high-quality game. A really high. Plenty of energy from the Roosters.
They played well,
You know, finish of sets maybe needs to improve, but it was a good game of footy. We'll take your thoughts on that as well. It's going to be a massive. I can't wait to release this talk topic. It's happening after the break. It's the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Ray and Jimmy.
Sky Sports Radio has Tab Talk every morning at 10. Racing, sports, guests galore, and the all-important Tab Markets. Join the Tab Talk family every morning on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Mum, it's that time again.
What time?
When there's so much to watch on television, there's a carnivale of coverage.
No, no, this is Australia. We say carnival.
Well, that's how I say it.
Can you say 4K TVs?
4K TVs.
If you buy one this month at Bing Lee, you'll get 10% Bing Lee bonus card.
On the spot.
With any LG 4K TV.
A Bing Lee bonus card worth 10% of the value of your purchase. That's a great deal.
There's a great deal more in store.
And a great deal to watch on telly.
Offer ends July 31. See bingley.com.au for terms and conditions.
Whether you're building or renovating, before you decide on your choice of windows or doors, take a closer look
at Wideline's brand new website, where you'll find our UViewed online quoting app.
Just upload your plans or tell us what you require and receive your free quote within 48 hours.
Even if it's only a few windows you need, we're here to help. No problem.
Wideline's quoting app is open 24 hours. You can even save your new quotes or edit old ones.
Time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
This is the talkback topic of the century. I've got so much. Producer Jeremy's come in at in the break there and said, yeah, we're going to release it, and I've put some guarantees around how many SMS we'll get.
It's tragic.
No, it's a good one, Ray.
Put as much pressure on us as Jason Tuggs on this afternoon.
There you go. Hey, go in on a limb, Ray, because that's where the fruit is, mate. In the light of Robbie Farah being dropped after playing for New South Wales in the State of Origin game, sports people, men and women, who have been dropped in controversial circumstances... We reckon there's a couple of massive ones out there.
There's two huge ones,
which automatically garner you a CD courtesy of Sony Music.
Yes.
But any others you can think of, Raymond?
Well, I can't now because you've stolen the thunder.
Hang on a minute.
You've stolen the thunder. Got to think.
Jamie Soward.
Yeah.
Jamie Soward was dropped when he was playing in the New South Wales Cup for the Illawarra Cutters. Dropped him from the Dragons. He was a premiership winning and State of Origin playing 5-8.
Wasn't your good friend Mark Carroll once dropped to reserve?
Mark Spud Carroll, yeah. He destroyed him after the Kangaroo Tour.
Mm.
And he said... He didn't call it reserve grade. He called it the 1:30 game.
The 1:30 game.
Hate to break it to you, Mark. But, of course, he did come back and win competitions and play State of Origin for Australia.
Just refine this. It is famous sporting persons who have been dropped.
Who have been dropped, absolutely.
In the wake of Robbie Farah.
Yeah, and everyone gets dropped from the Australian side pretty much, unless you retire on... Unless you're Mal Meninga.
Steve Waugh got dropped once.
For his twin.
Mm, for Mark Waugh. And Mark Waugh hit one of the best hundreds you ever see. It was Adelaide.
130-odd.
And Adelaide didn't hit a false stroke.
Which means he got another stick figure on the thigh pad.
And Steve Waugh was dropped. That was 91-92.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Steve Waugh was dropped.
Got dropped later on in his career.
Pretty much everyone's been dropped.
That's true.
Everyone's been dropped. 1353-53. So just to sum up, this is Laurie from Tomerong. To sum up who's going to be this Robbie Farah situation. Boys, the Farah situation, I can relate to it, being just like when you're at school and the teacher moves you to another class because apparently you're a disruptive influence on your mates. Just saying. So that sounds like it's happened to Laurie. So good on you, Laurie. We appreciate that. Getting some feedback here on Green v. Mundine. Green v. Mundine, please. I'd rather watch reruns of Gilligan's Island and Welcome Back, Cotter. Two very good shows there, Davo. So,
great shows.
Yeah, so we do appreciate that. NRL Bunker declares war on East. I think talking about the Sydney Roosters here. No to all tries, but yes to all opposing teams. I think return to ref's call... Stuff the cyber crap. I'm not sure it's cyber crap, but anyway. If EPL can survive without it, the NRL can too. Also, passion of the game, not stall before the semis. That's from Baz at Burley. Good on
some
you,
good
Baz.
Good ones, eh? It's good,
yeah,
solid
yeah,
start.
Really good start. So, 1353-53.
Captain Tiger on the line, Jimmy. Good morning, Captain.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are we?
Just on your talk topic, sportsmen have been dropped.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy, last week you dropped me.
When was that, Tiger?
During the quiz.
Through the quiz, I tried.
Oh, that's right.
Under Dunn, I was hair of the dog, and then he dropped me.
He's a ruthless man, Tiger. You got to know that.
And he dropped me in the game of bowls, and the boys, Donnie and Digger, they're going to drop me from Sunday Sippers because you've dropped me.
Well, got to send this poor man a CD.
Captain Tiger, all I can say to you is this. It's a results-based business, mate, and unfortunately the results we got from you weren't good. And I think, what's your mate's name? Donnie and who?
Digger.
Well, Donnie and Digger see the same things that I'm seeing. So maybe it's a chance in your life, Captain Tiger, to start really thinking about things and make some adjustments.
But I won once for you before, Jimmy.
He did, yeah.
I didn't get no appreciation then.
Mate, you're in the side right up until the point you lost.
Hey, Tiger.
What do you want, CT?
He's really a great fan. So we'll send out the CD, Just Great Rock Songs, Jimmy, to Captain Tiger.
Oh, absolutely. Good on you, CT.
Listen, can I play for Ray next time?
You're on the team, Tiger. Don't worry about that.
Mate, the problem with Ray, doesn't drop anyone. He's got 360 on his team.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to ask the questions for either you two boys and see which one would win.
Well, I think we know the answer to that, CT, and it wouldn't be me. No.
Depends which topics. Jimmy's got his...
racing.
That's not the only thing, don't worry, CT. CT, get off the phone and start thinking about your bowls game. Fair dinkum.
See you, boys.
See you, mate. Up nice and early. No hair of the dogs at A.
No, he's right on top of his game.
Yeah, so...
He's been waiting all week to get back at you there, Jimmy.
Yes. The ZZ Watch quiz will be coming up in the next hour, so...
Score check.
Get ready for that. Score check. Here we go. Hang on.
15-14.
Got my notes. Yeah, well spotted.
Yeah.
15-14. Remarkable comeback.
That's a talk topic down the track. Great comebacks in sporting history.
Well...
This is one of them.
Here it is. Eagle-eyed Phil. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Shane Warne was dropped by Steve Waugh on the 1999 West Indies Tour.
That's
so there
one
you
of
go.
Them. That's one of them.
Two. Mm. And we said at the time, if you get it right, we'll give you a CD.
The two that we thought, okay, what about Human Nature? Give me some loving for Eagle-eyed Phil.
We get some rock songs.
Just Great Rock Songs?
Yeah, Just Great Rock Songs.
All right. Okay.
Phil's out there at Dubbo. They'd be great for a barbie round at Dubbo, I reckon.
And you know, I saw Human Nature in Las Vegas. They were really good.
Were they good?
They were really good.
So Human Nature and LeBron James, that was what you did on the tour of the North America.
And American Pharaoh.
American Pharaoh, there you go. That's a trilogy. American Pharaoh. 1353-53, the overline number. Ron's on the line from Moree. He's got another couple. G'day, Ron.
Hey, Jimmy, Ray, how are you?
Yeah, good morning, Ron.
Yeah, man, I remember Morris Lowe, great Sadapa.
Yes.
Rides, and he got the flick and Quinton.
Yep.
Got the ride and won the Golden Slipper.
Yeah, Sadapa lost his first race in the Todman Stakes 2 weeks prior to the 83 Golden Slipper, and so poor old Morris Lowe lost the ride. Ronnie Quinton picks up the Golden Slipper winning ride on Sadapa.
Quinton Road rang the owners.
Okay, yeah.
And said, look, you don't want that happening in the Slipper, do you?
Mm.
And that was the end, you know?
Yeah, that's a good one.
It happens, yeah, it happens in a lot of... But Ronnie Quinton picked up his second Golden Slipper. He won on Mask Gain 82.
That's correct.
Ended up winning 4 Golden Slippers, the great Ron Quinton.
Ah, good on you,
Ron. That's a beauty.
Yeah, that's a little bit of left field one. We've got to see...
CD for Ronnie. What about...
Oh, you're a soft touch, Ray. Fair
Human Nature for Ronnie. I reckon he'd like Human Nature.
I agree. So we'll send that one out. Master Monkey's got his own take on this talk topic, as you can imagine, Ray. Yeah. I got dropped twice in the one night. My girlfriend dropped me at a nightclub, and when I approached the new boyfriend for an explanation, he dropped me with a short right. Thank you, Mark. Master Monkey. We appreciate it.
Master Monkey, did he get to the Origin that night? He never actually told us.
Oh, yeah.
He should let us know.
He sent a photo.
But was it definitely him?
No, we don't know. Someone sent a photo with their face obscured.
Yeah, at the Origin with a young kid.
With a grandson or something like that. So we think that was Master Monkey.
We hope you had a good time that night.
He doesn't like to reveal his identity.
That's
clearly,
okay.
Master
That's
Monkey.
All right.
But just to let you know, Master Monkey, we now have your phone number. So there you go. Gay Waterhouse was dropped by John Singleton over the More Joyous Affair.
That's a really good one.
That's Mick Fennick.
That's brilliant.
I told you, Ray. I'm telling you. I've already got the... We've already reached the number for the
CD
text
for Mick. That's a beauty. It's a world record. Peter Garrett, A Version and Ours, his brand new CD.
Nice. I reckon Mick will like that one. Doug Walters was dropped twice.
Yes.
Once when he was dropped from the Australian team to tour England, and the other when he found out on the radio news on his way home that he was dropped as New South Wales captain.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's from the Dungog Dragon.
Couldn't score a test 100 in England.
He never got 100?
No, he got a 90, but never got 100 in England.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, guys, Justin Hodges was dropped when he signed with the Roosters. Cheers,
that's
the mighty
right,
Tiger.
Yeah.
He was.
He got put into reserve grade rest of the season, didn't he?
Yeah. Wayne Bennett did that, but he didn't drop Wendell Saylor.
Why is that?
When he signed, I think it because Wendell had given a lot to the club and Justin was a very young player.
Okay.
I think that was the difference.
Teach me
that
lesson.
Was the point of difference. So there you go. I'm telling you, mate.
That's a good start.
The topic's going gangbusters.
We're giving away four CDs already.
I said we'd get at least a minimum of 10 SMS on this topic, and I reckon we've just about got that
and
now.
And one of the two big ones have gone already.
One of the two big ones, which was Shane Warne being dropped in the Caribbean in 1999. Yeah. That was an incredible series from Brian Lara's point of view.
He was absolutely on fire, Lara.
I think he scored three centuries, including a double.
Yeah, he was amazing and took apart when the Australian attack had, for most tests, McGrath and Warne.
And Gillespie, too, who's a great bowler. 1353 53 is that open line. We'll keep your calls coming on the talk topic. Great sportsmen who have been dropped. Time for the news.
Responsibility for a suicide bombing in the Afghan capital, Kabul. More than 60 people are dead and hundreds injured. The BBC's Charles Haviland reports.
Reports from the scene of the blast say it is littered with charred bodies and dismembered limbs. Ambulances have struggled to reach the scene because the authorities had blocked some roads to limit the movements of protesters and protect the presidential palace. The explosion hit a demonstration by members of the Hazara ethnic minority who were marching to protest against a government decision to divert a new electricity supply line away from their provinces.
Meantime, police have described the gunman in Munich who killed 10 people on Friday as obsessed with mass shootings and have found no links to any terror groups. Iris Spitzer reports from Berlin.
The gunman has been identified as an 18-year-old male of Iranian descent who grew up in Munich and had undergone treatment for depression. Investigators found evidence, including a book at his residence, indicating a strong interest in mass shootings. The attack occurred on the five-year anniversary of the massacre by Anders Breivik in Norway that killed 77 people. Authorities believe that could have been intentional. They are also investigating a report that the attacker used a fake Facebook page to lure people to the attack site. Iris Spitzer, Berlin.
Back home, a recount is expected to continue today in the last federal seat of Herbert, where Labor is holding on to a narrowed lead. Labor's Cathy O'Toole led sitting coalition MP Ewan Jones by 9 votes in the contest for the Townsville-based North Queensland seat as of around 6 o'clock last night. But it appears likely Labor or the Liberal National Party will end up taking the final result to the Court of Disputed Returns, arguing for a fresh election. If the coalition can retain Herbert, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull will have 77 seats in the 150-seat parliament, allowing the government to appoint a speaker while retaining an absolute majority. A man has been charged with killing a woman during a robbery of a North Hobart store. Police say the 66-year-old woman died after she was attacked during a robbery at the A&B food store yesterday. A 34-year-old Claremont man has been charged with murder and robbery and will appear in the Hobart Magistrates Court today. A man has died from stab wounds following an altercation with another man in New South Wales' Central Tablelands. The body of the 35-year-old man was discovered by police in a Lithgow home at 9:30 last night while they were responding to reports of a fight between two men. A 27-year-old man was found at a nearby property and has been arrested in connection to the fatal stabbing. And Queensland's RSPCA is hoping to use the Pokemon Go craze to lure in potential owners for abandoned pets. The RSPCA will hold its first Pokemon Go tour at its animal care campus at Wacol in Brisbane's west this afternoon and says there will be a Pokemon Go gym on site. The organisation hopes the tours will allow the pets in its care to get more exposure to potential owners and hopefully find new homes. This is Air News. Parramatta's NRL top 8 hopes are over after falling 34-14 to the Titans last night on the Gold Coast. The 7th place Titans remain inside of their first finals campaign in 6 years after a 5-3 triumph in front of just over 15,000 fans in Robina. Eels coach Brad Arthur says his side fought hard.
They're disappointed that the season is over, but we've still set some standards and expectations of what sort of footy team we want to play like. And I think they tried tremendously hard tonight.
In other games, Melbourne has continued its charge towards a minor premiership with a 26-10 win over the Roosters at Amy Park, and the Raiders beat the Warriors 26-22. West Coast Eagles have posted a 6-point win over Melbourne at Subiaco Oval. The Eagles entered the match as hot favourites but struggled in the slippery conditions and trailed Melbourne by 6 points at three-quarter time. However, the home side booted 2 unanswered goals in the final term to run out 10-6, 66 to 8-12-60 winners. The Geelong Cats have ended Adelaide's 8-game unbeaten run, winning by 30 points. And other AFL winners from yesterday, St Kilda, the Gold Coast and Sydney. And Pakistan were 4 for 57 against England at stumps in their first innings at Old Trafford Cricket Ground today. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
It's sunny in Sydney today. Patches of light frost in the outer west early this morning. Winds west to northwesterly 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, becoming light in the late afternoon, then becoming north to northwesterly 15 to 20 kilometres an hour in the evening. There's large and powerful surf conditions, so be careful if you're surfing or swimming or rock fishing. Maximum of 16 degrees in Sydney. Now, what about Belmore? In Sydney's west, and Balranald in the state's far west.
Down sort of your neck of the woods almost.
Yeah, Riverina.
Yeah. Belmore, sunny day and 15 degrees. Right now at Balranald, it's a cool start to the day. It's 6 degrees, a little bit cloudy, but sun will come out eventually and get to 14 degrees at Balranald.
Goss on your sport and your team. You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray, and talk topics going gangbusters, Jim.
Oh, are you surprised?
Oh, I'm.
It's a great topic.
Yeah. There's a couple of good ones here.
Guys, did Wayne Bennett drop Wally Lewis when he played for the Broncos?
He did, didn't
Shift
he?
From Cardiff. Well, I don't know whether he dropped him, but he got him out of the club.
I reckon he was drunk. Yeah. And what did happen, though, on the AU2 Kangaroo Tour, was that Frank Stanton's team?
Yeah, well spotted. Yeah.
He dropped, effectively, the incumbent halves, Wally Lewis and Steve Mortimer, and put in P. Stirling and B. Kenny.
Amazing. I think Wally was the vice-captain of that tour.
That's right, yeah.
And he was dropped.
Amazing.
There's a good one from 1990 too. There's another big one. We spoke about it beforehand. We'll leave it out there for the listeners. It's a CD up for grabs on that.
Okay.
Think Kangaroo Tour.
Yes.
Think Kangaroo Tour.
Yep.
All right, Raymond, race replays.
Race replays, your favourite part of the show, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, look, saw a couple of nice horses yesterday. I've been saying it a couple of times. The two-year-old racing this winter in Sydney has been really strong and getting even stronger now because the Golden Rose is just over a month, 5-6 weeks away. So the better two-year-olds, or the ones that are showing promise, starting to head towards the Golden Rose. I think the first four out of yesterday's opener are really promising two-year-olds. Tango Rain went back-to-back, unbeaten in two starts. Really nice colt, trained by Gerald Ryan.
As they race up to the home turn in these very windy conditions, Tickling's going okay behind the leader, coming off heels, and Thronin can rail through as they turn. Tango Rain in front from Tickling in second. The favourite Thronin goes to third from Decorated Soldier, Seven Sheik, and Hair Trigger's making ground down the outside. We walk right in. Tango Rain leads at the 150. Thronin's giving chase on the outside of Tickling, but Tango Rain in front from Thronin, then Hair Trigger the outside, and Tango Rain's going to lead all the way in the opener. Tango Rain by a length to Thronin and Hair Trigger third from Decker.
We're going to speak to Gerald Ryan a little bit later on in the program, very shortly actually. It's an interesting story around how he picked up Tango Rain. It was a bit of a fire sale, and he was to get a colt and a filly, and Mick Price was to get a colt and a filly. He ended up with the two colts. And the one that he wasn't supposed to get was Tango Rain.
Yeah, and the other one is Star of Monsoon, who runs Wednesday, and also a really nice colt. So the second, third and fourth place getters as well, Jimmy, Thronin, Hair Trigger and Decorated Soldier, mark them down in your little black book, because I think all four of those two-year-olds are well above average. The next of our replays, Hugh Bowman was back in town yesterday, and terrific ride on Pioneering. She carried 61 in the heavy track, and Hugh Bowman got her up in the last ride.
Ellensburg Ham being hard pushed now at the 400 metres. From Ocean Tampa's being cuddled in second, then Salerno. The favourite D9L's hooking to the outside and honing in on the leader quickly. Into the straight, Ellensburg Ham being joined by D9L. Ocean Tampa's got close to heels, pioneering under top weight, making ground. Art Nouveau down the outside. D9L dashes a length and a half clear from pioneering Art Nouveau the outside. D9L in front, pioneering under. 61 will do it, I'd say. Photo. Pioneering dived at D9L. Art Nouveau third. Helen's
got it right, Darren. Just got there. Pioneering. Chris Waller now. Mm-hmm. I read cover to cover your lift out on Friday.
Okay.
Chris Waller. Now, he had the one win yesterday. He'll have two more meetings.
Yes.
And he needs
four. Yeah, to get the 1.68 to break his record of 1.67.5. Yeah.
But with the washout during the week, that's actually another less one. So he's, what, 10 less than when he set the record?
Well done, Jimmy, yeah.
I read your article, mate.
Yeah, thanks. On Gosford on Thursday, a filly called Laurie, I think you pronounce it correctly, won her maiden and gave Chris Waller, or took Chris Waller's stable earnings for the season above the $30 million mark. An extraordinary achievement.
What's the nearest anyone's ever... It was Waller previously.
28 men. Only one other trainer's ever broken 20 men. That's Darren Weir this season. I know prize money gets inflated as the years go on, but still an amazing achievement. This was a great ride. Jason Collett out the back on Song and Laughter. The horse, the mare was going nowhere. He stuck to the fence, took the shortest way home, and Song and Laughter got right through up inside singing to win in the last couple of strides.
Into the turn and Treachery in front. Black Jag under pressure and Singing is cruising at the moment, and Singing quickly moves up on the outside of Treachery. Pindon Pearl comes to the outside from Springbok Flyer and further back to Song and Laughter. It's Singing in front with 150 metres to run. Song and Laughter's finishing off on the rails. It's Singing a length clear from Song and Laughter. Get on the Grange. Pindon Pearl and Loophole making ground, but Singing in front from Song and Laughter. Song and Laughter's driving at Singing, and she got up Song and Laughter, a lovely ride by Jason Collett, and Song and Laughter just edged out Singing. He's run terrific on debut. Third, I'm not sure here. Get on the Grange, Treachery and Loophole closing on.
Yeah, good win there for Song and Laughter. Jason Collett, you heard Darren Flindell make mention of the ride. You've made mention of it as well. And good for Jim Litt and son Richard after a tough family time. So great to see that.
The second horse there, trained by Chris Lees. Again, Jimmy, little black book there. Put this one down. Yeah. Singing.
Okay.
Yeah. Owned by your friends from Australian Bloodstock. Yeah.
Jamie and Luke.
Yep. They found this stayer. It ran second to Protectionist in a Group 2 in Germany 2 years ago, prior to Protectionist winning the Melbourne Cup. It was only beaten a length. He's only had three starts since until yesterday. He's had a lot of injury problems. Great return by Singing. He'll get better and better, Jim.
1900, far enough.
He hadn't had an official barrier trial going into that, so a terrific return by Singing. He's a class horse. Peter and Paul Snowden produced Red Zell first up yesterday. I love the instructions that were given to Kieran McAvoy. Ride this horse for speed. It was exhilarating watching Red Zell go from barrier to post win the July sprint.
Racing to the home turn, Red Zell two lengths clear from Feline's, railing through to second, then Decision Time. Two further back to Forget Harara. Wouldn't it be nice, Gold Symphony into the clear, into the straight now, and Red Zell the leader. Can it keep up the gallop? Two lengths clear from Feline's, Forget's running on. Further back to Wouldn't it be nice, and Gold Symphony heads the rest, but Red Zell is nicely clear of Wouldn't it be nice, who's really starting to cut into the margin. Red Zell's a length in front from Wouldn't it be nice, and Red Zell's going to lead all the way in the July sprint. Red Zell by three quarters to Wouldn't It Be Nice. Third's a photo between Forget the Inside of Gold Symphony. Mount Nebo
by Schnitzel. And there was another Schnitzel runner, Buck Zell, that won for Peter and Paul Snowden and for Triple Crown Syndications, which took Schnitzel's winners this season to over 30.
To 30.
230.
Yep.
Which is new record.
Equal the record.
Equal the record.
Of Without Fear. So you were reading. I'm very impressed, Jimmy.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Without Fear did it in 1975-76 from 56 runners, 30 individual winners. Quite extraordinary. But Stencil's only had about 70. He's got a couple running at Hawkesbury today, Jim, so he could break the record. One of them's by Schnitzel out of Alinghi. Remember the great Alinghi?
Diamond? Yeah.
Called America. We'll ask Gerald about it very shortly, having its first start. So that could give
Snitzel the record. Jimmy, overnight, last replay, I promise you, overnight, the King George the VI and Queen Elizabeth Stakes at Ascot, England's premier weight for age race. The reason I want to show this, because Highland Reel has won it, and he's a terrific horse. This is the same Highland Reel that ran third, beaten 5.5 lengths by our very own Winx in the Cox Plate last spring. So how good is Winx? This is Highland Reel winning at Ascot overnight.
It's Highland Reel approaching the two. Wings of Desire angles out for first crack at the leader, who's still out in front by over a length. Then in third place Erupt, Sir Isaac Newton, Dartmouth with a little bit of work to do. Highland Reel hanging tough out in front, still leads by over a length. Wings of Desire is in second place, the three-year-old. So far it's gone according to plan for Ryan Moore, and Highland Reel still leads by over a length from Wings of Desire. A tactical masterclass by Ryan Moore, and Highland Reel won the King George. In second was Wings of Desire. They were just about the first two throughout. Dartmouth runs on, may have grabbed...
She might get Horse of the Year, do you think?
All I'm saying is just how good is Winx when you see
she's
that.
She's very, very good. Yeah, now, what's she going to do? She's going to have a trial at Randwick?
Yeah, because he's won a Group 1 at Hong Kong since that Cox Plate defeat. Mm-hmm. He won the Vase in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And now he's come out and won what is effectively England's premier weight for age race at Ascot.
So he's put good numbers up after the Cox Plate... She ran along the fence and that was it. End of section, wasn't it?
And that was a track bias, but she would have won anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Could possibly trial this Friday, Jim, Winx, at Randwick. If not, the following Tuesday at Rosehill. Depending on weather. Like, Chris doesn't want to trial on a bog track, so we'll see how the tracks are come later in the week if we get no rain. And then another trial prior to her return at this stage scheduled for August 20 in the Warwick Stakes at Randwick.
Is her grand final Cox Plate again?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Cox Plate defence.
Okay, but she'll get them all going to the races again. She did that previously, so she is a superstar. And yes, she will get Horse of the Year, we think, for this year.
It's a lock, Jim.
13:53:53. Yep, they're coming in left, right, and centre, Raymond. Your talk topic has gone gangbusters.
And it contributes something to this show eventually.
What about when Mundoon got dropped in Germany? How good was that? That's from Dale.
Really good.
Why do you?
That's brilliant.
Jim and Ray, Wally Lewis and Wayne Pearce, both medically ruled unfit to tour with the 1990 Kangaroo Tour.
That's right.
Tony in Nowra. Tony, going to have to pull you up on that one. Wally Lewis was 1990. Wayne Pearce was 1986.
86, yeah, okay.
He stumbled over a pothole at Redfern Oval.
Wayne Pearce, did he?
Wayne Pearce, he's coming back from a knee injury. They were doing a training. There was a pothole at Redfern. He stumbled on that and they went, no, we're not taking it. Remember, he was the star that emerged on the 82 Kangaroo Tour.
Fantastic,
So there you go. There's some Michael Diamond got dropped from the Olympic team. And this one, with all the muggings at gunpoint over in Rio, wouldn't Michael Diamond come in handy, boys?
Can't say that,
We've got to go to a break, Dave. You can't say that.
Texts and emails on the Big Sports Breakfast are brought to you by the Wideline Windows and Doors 24/7 online quoting app. Take a closer look at wideline.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio has your perfect start to every race day. Racing HQ, Tab Talk and the Early Mail bring you non-stop racing information for a winning day. Tips, markets and interviews every morning on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Japan, Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Jim, I made mention earlier that two-year-old race yesterday, the first four over the line, all very promising young horses, and particularly the winner. He's gone 2 from 2. And it was a carbon copy of his debut at Canterbury last month. He's a really promising horse. Gerald Ryan's been good enough to join us bright and early this morning. Gerald, good morning. Tango Rain, he's gone 2 from 2 and he won with authority yesterday, Gerald.
He did, Ray. Good morning, Ray. Yeah, he did win yesterday. He bounced quick and put himself there. And he learned from his first run and he had that trial at... he's going the right way.
Yeah, and you might be getting excited about him too, Gerald, because significantly up in grade, so you just wonder where he might go next. What is the plan? I think the Rosebud or the San Domenico?
At this stage, I think the San Domenico.
Okay.
His first preference racing trip. It's 1100 on his home track. As he went to the 1200 at Randwick, which evidently to be wet. You might lose him for the spring, you know? Mm.
Gerald, that's, yeah, I understand, Gerald. The San Domenico seems a perfect option. That's still 1,100 metres, though.
Mm.
How far can he get, Gerald? Is he a Golden Rose horse or more essentially a sprinter at this stage of his career?
Well, I think essentially a sprinter. He's going to the Golden Rose and he's going to San Domenico. And then if you want to press towards the Golden Rose, where you could get him knocked to one of the roses or... another racing egg, just lost the name of it at the moment, or if he's essentially a sprinter, you might freshen him up and come back later in the spring.
Yeah, the Coolmore, something like that. Mm.
Tell us about how you got the horse, Gerald. There's a bit of a story behind it.
Yeah, well, there's when Kelly had their dispersal sale, they kept two silly foals and two colt foals. And I think Mick Price was going to get one filly and I was going to get one colt. I was going to get a filly and a colt each, and then I know something happened, and two colts ended up with me and the two fillies ended up with Mick Price.
How are the fillies going? Because you've done well with the colt.
Yeah, both colts. Yeah.
Well, I'm not real sure which fillies they were, but I think one of the more nerdy filly half to Rubik, and I was getting there because of Rubik, and the other Star Monsoon, a long road colt half to Lucky Rassi.
Okay.
Mm. And then I think Mick trained Tango's daughter.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And this bloke's half sister. And I think like, this bloke might have been the reason why he was going to Mick.
Yeah. Oh, Lucky.
I rang Iris and said, "Had the two colts." He said, "Oh, you're supposed to get the colt with Philly. Mick was getting the colt with Philly. Doesn't matter. You're all in where they are."
Well, luck's a fortune for you, Gerald, because Tango reigns two from two. The other colt, Star of Monsoon's, also highly promising and likely to run Wednesday, Gerald?
Yeah, he's in the maid on Wednesday. Like he had two runs in the autumn in strong races in Boston and Canterbury and third. And that really good maiden behind Kiss and Make Up at Canterbury, and he had a 3 month spell and two trials have been satisfying coming back. And he's probably more like also will get 1600 metres. And,
Well found in the market, Gerald, 850 to 440. Your stable get a bit of that?
I think so. I don't know about the stable, but I think the owner might have. But I just thought both times before one of the races off his trial, he's been good off, you know?
Yeah.
What? Some horses are like that, but you know, he trial well leading into his maiden win and get his $11, and he's. I just thought, yes, that was a very good race. I thought those top four colts were really good colts. That's the reason for my first catch. And the filly, because I couldn't see any others beating those top four, and that's where they finish. You know, I think it was a pretty deep race yesterday, and they were all just coming off maidens, winning, and like Gazeworth has been to Kendall on a Saturday maiden. Peter's also won a Saturday maiden at Newcastle, so you know, even though it's provincial maidens are strong races of lately, it has been for the last couple of months, really.
Yeah, they have been, haven't they? Strong 2 year old races. Gerald, Snitzel, your former great sprinter's just going gangbusters, and he equaled the record for individual 2 year old winners yesterday. You've got America having its first start at Hawkesbury today. Here's the Snitzel colt out of Alinghi. How is he shaping up? Are you taking on the older horses at 1300?
Yeah, well, he's a $1.8 million yearling.
Yep.
He's big horse. He's a big horse, and he's not a speed horse, but he's always gone off horse a little bit over a little bit of ground, or 1,400 or 1,600 metres, and he's indicated that in his trials too. He's shown no space, but pace, but he kicked the line really well. We're always going to run him here in the field. Should come out for the. This meeting, it was going to be a tie and it made a maid 2 year old, but we can't run trial on a tour street and they shortened it up to 1,000 metres, so that's no good to us. So I'll have a bit of luck later as 2 year old in.
It's the older horses,
yeah. Old horses in the open maiden, so I'll put him in the open maiden where the 1,300 should suit him down the ground.
Mm. Hey, Gerald, spring's just around the corner. It seems amazing. It rolls around very quickly. From a listener point of view, is there any horse that you think's going very well in the stable? Is going to have a good spring?
Well, I think, you know, because yesterday he could win a nice race. I've chased on soon after Wednesday, you know, body trial on it. Canterbury's going to be too fraction short for him. He was better when he gets out to 1400 at Randwick or Rose Hill. I think they're two nice horses, promising horses. And the horse that has come back really, really well. King White, and also Peter Moody, and the bloody round horse in Yarrowfield.
King White, yeah.
He has come back really, really well and a lot stronger. Really nice horse here. And, you know, you'll probably have your first up running the challenge. Next month,
yeah. Okay. All right. A couple to keep your eye on there. Gerald, really appreciate your time. Obviously, you don't stop. It's on again this morning. You can hear the horses in the background. We appreciate your time. We understand you're busy.
Okay, no worries. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Sean. There, good to have him on the program after that winner yesterday, Tango Rain. So keep your eye on them and a couple more. Ray mentions coming out of that that race, the first race there.
Race one yesterday at Canterbury's Tango Rain. America's in the second at Hawkesbury today, Jim.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Well, he holds a 4-minute lead. It looks about run and done. Of course, they've got the final stage down the Champs-Élysées. Always spectacular pitches, not such spectacular racing. It's almost a, you know, we'll celebrate the winner here. You see them with the glass of champagne as they go along. It's been another great campaign. Mike Tomalaris has been there for the entirety of it for SBS, and he's been good enough to join us this morning. G'day, Mike.
Oh, g'day, Jim. You're always good to talk to you, mate. And also to you, Ray. Yes, it is a precision in the final stage. It really is. Look, these guys have been on the road battling the elements in the searing heat, the cold conditions, the wet weekend that we experienced here in the southeast of France. And look, when you've got a margin of more than 4 minutes like Chris Froome has, nothing's going to change. It's a flat stage. It's basically just a final hoorah for the sprinters. But you're right, the champagne's flowing. It makes for good television. It's a good opportunity to show off the most beautiful city in the world in Paris. Hundreds of thousands of people turn up in what is a holiday time. And look, we basically just pay tribute to these road warriors. They've done a great job over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. Yeah, some great images out of France yet again watching the race. And how good is Chris Froome now?
Yeah.
This is his third Tour de France about to come up. He's getting a record now that's comparable to some of the legends of the sport.
Yeah. Well, he is a legend. There's no doubt about that. And I think part of the reason is that he has a solid team around him, not just on the road, but it's the entire squad. We're talking about Sky, Team Sky. It's the wealthiest team in world cycling. It's got an annual operating budget of $60 million.
Whoa,
they invest in the most amazing sports scientists. They have the best of everything. And when you invest in so much money and you're backed by the British government and you're backed by Rupert Murdoch with all of his business interests, of course you're going to win the race. This is the race, the Tour de France, that this team revolves its whole year around. And when there's no salary cap in the world of cycling, then and you've got a bottomless pit as a budget and a backer, of course you're going to lure the best cyclist to this squad. Each and every one of Chris Froome's teammates are in a position where they could lead any team in this tour.
Wow.
But they are in the squad to help one man, and that is Chris Froome. And I think that's the difference. It is a very, very wealthy squad.
Well, give us an understanding then of what the other teams are battling with. If they've got an operating budget of $60 million, say, what's Orica Green Edge? What's their operating budget?
Yeah. Well, I'm told, I believe that it's around $25 million, and that's bankrolled by Jerry Ryan.
Yes.
And probably the least wealthiest team in this tour, and there are 22 teams in the Tour de France, is probably one of the invitees, one of the French teams, Cofidis, or one of those teams. I would say less than $1 million.
Gee, yeah, massive disparity, yeah. Richie Porte, he's likely to get a top five finish. Hopefully he can. Mike, could Richie one day win a Tour de France?
Oh, of course he can, Ray. Of course he can. Look, he's finished fifth, and that is up there equaling Phil Anderson as the second best performance by an Australian at the Tour de France in the history of this event. Phil came fifth in the 1980s. Of course, Cadel Evans is the only Aussie to have won the Tour. So, look, we should be very proud of Richie. Fifth in the biggest bike race of them all. At a time when this race is so globalised. Now, when Phil Anderson came fifth, it was predominantly dominated by Europeans. The landscape has certainly changed in the last 30 years since Phil was going around. And if you look at the top 10, it is a multinational leaderboard. You've got Colombians, you've got British riders, Australians, Italians. They come from all over the world. The landscape of world cycling has changed. So for Richie Porte to finish fifth, it's a pretty good result.
And Mike, very quickly, you know, when you start winning three Tour de France, you start talking about the other great champions, the multiple winners. Never seen the name Lance Armstrong. Is that just a dirty word
now?
Yeah.
Well, it is. He's been rubbed out. If you look at the history books, crossed the line first between 1999 and 2005, and the Tour de France has got a big black line against his name for all those years.
Wow, extraordinary.
And not, you know, you read articles, he doesn't get a mention. Just completely wiped from the history.
No, he doesn't get a mention. He loves to be in the limelight, though, Jimmy. He tries very hard to make headlines. But, look, I kind of feel sorry for him, but I was very angry with him when he did come out and Oprah Winfrey did that famous interview 3 years ago. Because he pulled the wool over our eyes. But I'm not sure if I should feel sorry for him, but part of me does, I guess.
It's human nature.
You're too kind-hearted, Mike. We've got to go, mate. We've got the news here. Congratulations on the coverage of another great tour from SBS, and we appreciate your time on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, always good to talk to you, Jimmy and Ray.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Tomalaris there, live from the Tour de France, and you can watch that final stage on SBS tonight. We'll take a break. The news is up next, and then we'll take your calls. 1353 53.
Soldiers whose remains lay where they fell for nearly a century have at last been given funerals and now rest with more than 700 of their mates in the French countryside. An Australian military contingent conducted the funeral service at the Pozieres British Cemetery on Saturday, the anniversary of the first day of the Battle of Pozieres, which cost more than 6,700 Australians their lives in the summer of 1916. Full military honours were given to the men, with their coffins being drummed into the cemetery, a three-shot salute given by a firing party, and the last post played at the end of the ceremony. The Veterans Affairs Minister Dan Tehan says the Australians who gave their lives left a lasting legacy.
The willingness to put oneself forward at a time of need, a resolve to offer oneself freely, no matter what the cost, to do the job required. That there was a generation that bestowed on us a belief that there is a need to give of ourselves for our community and for our nation.
Cold temperatures will continue for Victoria, but damaging winds and heavy rain will ease today before another cold front moves in. The SES has received more than 500 calls for help during the 3 days of wild weather as three cold fronts make their way across the state. Seven people were taken to hospital yesterday after being involved in car accidents caused by fallen trees on roads. A stronger cold front with winds gusting up to around 90 to 100 kilometres an hour is expected tomorrow. A man has died after he was allegedly hit by a car and assaulted in Western Sydney earlier this month. The 54-year-old man died in hospital yesterday, where he'd been since July 16 after the alleged assault at a Shelby intersection. A 40-year-old man was charged in relation to the incident. A South Canberra hotel was partially evacuated following a fire. Firefighters are investigating after discovering a fire had broken out in a dryer in a laundry of a hotel at about 10:45 last night. The fire filled part of the hotel with smoke, causing 35 rooms to be evacuated, and guests were relocated elsewhere in the hotel. German police are investigating whether the German-Iranian who killed 10 at a Munich shopping mall was obsessed with Anders Breivik. 4 years ago, Breivik detonated a bomb in Oslo before killing 69 at a summer camp in Norway. Our correspondent in Munich, Jack Parrick, reports that meanwhile the city of Munich is slowly returning to normal.
I'm stood just outside the police cordon near to the Olympia Einkaufszentrum, the shopping centre in Munich where the attack took place on Friday evening. We now know that the perpetrator was an 18-year-old Iranian German who lived in the Munich area. The police say that they didn't have him on their record. He had no criminal record and had no known links to criminal or terrorist organisations. At the moment, we know that 10 people are confirmed to be dead and at least 20 others injured. The police investigation is continuing here at the shopping centre, but the police have given the city the all clear and have reopened public transport and links throughout the city. But obviously the city of Munich is reeling from the attack.
This is Air News. World number one Jason Day will look to find some much-needed momentum towards the PGA Championship as he finishes up his Canadian Open title defence. Barring a miracle, Day's grip on the trophy is gone after he managed a solid but not spectacular 3-under-69 in the third round to move to 2-under for the championship. It leaves the 28-year-old six shots off the pace at Glen Abbey Golf Club, with world number two Dustin Johnson and Brant Snedeker sharing the lead at 8-under. In AFL, the Gold Coast Suns took down the Fremantle Dockers at Metricon Stadium 16-9-105 to 12-9-81. Tom Lynch, Sam Day and Peter Wright scored 11 of the Suns' 16 goals. Coach Rodney Eade says he's proud of his side's attitude.
I thought our midfield really stood up. Now, there's some great efforts tonight, or today. I thought that's close to our best win for the year. It was a great win.
Round 18 continues this afternoon with the Bombers and Lions at Etihad Stadium. The Hawks take on the Tigers at the MCG, and later Port Adelaide meet the GWS Giants at Adelaide Oval. The Canberra Raiders are in the NRL top four with a win over the Warriors yesterday, 26 points to 22. This afternoon, Cronulla take on Newcastle at Shark Park, and it's the Dragons and Tigers at ANZ Stadium. Australian Independent Radio News.
Midweek racing is fully covered on Sky Sports Radio.
This Wednesday from 9:30, get your Sydney preview lowdown with form analysts Paul Joyce and Ray Thomas, plus the latest tab markets. Racing HQ, every Wednesday on Sky Sports Radio.
You know we highly recommend a little end-of-year trip to Hong Kong. In fact, we can't recommend it highly enough.
Sure, there's the exotic delights of Hong Kong itself.
But better than that, you can be trackside at one of the world's truly great weeks of racing. With Ambassador Travel, you do it in style. Private boxes all the way, Happy Valley on Wednesday. While on Sunday, you're off to Sha Tin for the climax of the Turf World Championships, featuring four Group 1s. In between, you can shop, cruise the harbour, head to Macau, play golf at Mission Hills, or just relax. Why not extend and take in China? The trip leaves December 6th. Call Ambassador Travel now. 1-800-777-989 or log on to
ambassadortravel.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, sunny, patches of light frost in the outer west early this morning. Winds west to northwesterly, 15 to 20 k's, not as strong as yesterday. Sydney's heading for a pretty nice day in the midwinter of 16 degrees and sunny. Jimmy, what about at Tamarama and out at Tibberborough?
Tamarama Rock Glamour is at 15 degrees on the coast there. Tamarama, beautiful part of the world. Tibberborough, way out west.
Ever been there?
Never been to Tibberborough. No, you ever been to Bourke?
No.
No, yeah. Neither have I. Yeah. I went to Brewarrina. My sister was teaching out of Brewarrina,
which is way out west.
Yeah, so went out to Brewarrina. You know, that's the longest stretch of straight road in the world.
But longer than Nullarbor?
Between Ningen, dead straight road.
Okay.
Between Ningen and Brewarrina. Okay. It's 200 kilometres.
Wow.
Straight, not a bend, not a turn. Dead straight.
That's Australia for you, Jim.
Yeah, but partly cloudy. 17 degrees at Tibberborough.
And best serve
of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Let's get into it. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
Well, the talk topic's gone gangbusters. Absolutely gangbusters. So here we go. There's so many people. Hey, guys, was it Alan Langer who got dropped on the Kangaroo Tour and replaced by Ricky Stewart? Cheers, Mighty Tiger. We teased that a little bit earlier in 1990. Yes. Well, it's actually not strictly correct. In the first test, Alan Langer and Ricky Stewart played together.
That's right, yeah.
In 1990. They lost that test match. And then the score 19-12. And then for the second test, Bob Fulton brought in, dropped Alan Langer and brought in Cliffy Lyons. So there you go. That was Alan Langer, dropped from the Australian side.
That's a good one here, Jimmy. Robert Allenby's seventh caddy, dropped in Hawaii after he missed the cut.
Ian from Orange. Where's that come from?
Ian from Orange. It's really good.
Okay. Very, Ian.
What about Just Great Rock Songs from Ian from Orange?
Yeah, give him a CD for that.
I like
Robert Allenby's poor old caddy. And I'm not talking about one person there. We've talked about, what about this one? Can you get a bigger dropping than Abbott from the Liberal side? That's from Dale again. Boys, Michael Slater was dropped. Justin Langer made the most of that. And wasn't Joe Root dropped by Shane Warne? That's from Laurie. No.
David Warner.
David Warner.
Yeah.
At the walkabout at Birmingham.
Speaking of Joe Root, got 250. Four overnight for England, aren't they in a strong position?
Absolutely. Slats was dropped by Steve Waugh for Justin Langer. That's Jack from Old Bar. So a lot of people making mention of that. G'day, boys. Didn't Jack Gibson drop Fatty Vaughton to reserves to finish his career?
I think he did.
Cheers, Des Perrott. Yeah. Des, it was Mark Murray was the coach,
the
but
yeah.
Jack was the coaching coordinator or coaching manager, whatever you wanted to call him. He was the boss anyway, Jack. And yeah, Fatty was dropped.
That's right.
And Muppet brought him back for the last game, his last ever game.
Did he?
In 1991.
That's right.
Again, I think pretty sure we played Penrith in the last game. And Penrith went on to win their first comp.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were there.
Yeah, I was there. I was there. Hey, boys, how about when Ron Casey dropped Normie Rowe on the midday show? Family man, Al.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Now, where's the one we heard about? Was there... Did Clint Newton really drop Jennifer Hawkins? I don't know what... You never know what happens in a relationship, but you don't know.
You can't be reading.
Someone read it. Someone sent it in. I don't know who dropped who, but anyway.
They did used to go out.
They did,
yeah.
There's no... We can't get away from that fact,
life,
right?
Life happens. These things happen.
1353-53. By the way, happy wedding anniversary, too, to you. And where was our man that sent in? He said, Tanya and Ray, happy wedding anniversary for tomorrow. You got married on my birthday, Jared at Oatlands. Good on you, Jared.
Oh, CD for Jared.
Yeah, fair enough. Love song dedications. What do we got here?
Well, what about Human Nature?
Yep.
Give me some love.
Given the fact you saw them on your honeymoon. Perfect.
Oh, well done, Jim.
Absolutely perfect.
Jeez, you're flying today.
No, this topic's flying today. It's put us all in a good mood, which is very hard to do on a Sunday morning, isn't it?
No,
producer
hard
Jeremy?
For you. Hard for you.
1353-53 is that number. Let's go to John, who wants to weigh in on the topic as well. G'day, John.
Yeah, John from Dapto No Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Watch that space, John. Watch that space.
Very sad, yeah. This guy played lock for Australia, and the following week he was in reserve grade for South Sydney.
Yeah, who was that, John?
Paul Sait.
Paul Sait.
Really? Gee.
Yeah, and unlike Shane Warne or Robbie, he copped it on the chin and there was no furore in the paper.
Gee, Paul Sait.
Clive Churchill was the coach, I think.
That's when they had Gary Stevens, Bob McCarthy, John O'Neill all in the pack, didn't they, John?
And Bobby Moses.
Bobby Moses.
Jeez,
a great pack.
Paul Sait, John. He coached Gary Jack early in his career, and he was the one who suggested he goes to Sydney.
Yeah, that a fact, yeah.
Yeah, the only reason, and I thought it was from down in that Wollongong, Dapto area.
Yeah, well, Gary Jack used to play for West, which is Fig Tree, Yarrandera area.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, good nomination
good
there.
One,
yeah.
Thanks very
Paul
much.
Sait.
Thanks for your
good
call,
on
John. Tackling machine he was, Jimmy.
Was he?
Tackling machine. They had a great pack there. Gary Steen, Bob McCarthy, John O'Neill, Moses, Elwin Wallace, I think, was a hooker.
Sattler. You mentioned Sattler.
Yeah, what a pack.
Coot.
Yeah. Ronnie Coote.
Yeah. Good players. Mm. Actually, better than good players. Great Hello, player. Brad.
How you going, boys?
Really well,
morning,
mate.
Brad.
Artie Beach in 1980. Parramatta Reserve grade, the state of origin.
Yeah. Well, he was.
Is that
he,
right?
He was selected, but
I've
he was.
Forgotten that. Yeah.
He played a bit of first grade that year, but he'd also played. He. I'm pretty sure Parramatta won the reserve grade grand final in 1980.
Okay.
And Arthur Beaton was a part of that side.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was last year, Jim.
And then he played a year up in Redcliffe for Redcliffe in the Queensland comp, and that was his
last year.
Last year in the New South Wales Rugby League.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Thank you.
So great
good on you, Brad.
Great Arthur Beaton. And he had an impact, obviously, in more ways than one in that State of Origin match too, didn't he?
Big Arthur.
Nick
absolutely.
Cronin.
Well, that's the famous one everyone talks about, Mick Cronin. But really, he punched everyone.
he cleaned everybody.
I was talking to Vossi last week, and he said, Steve Edge never gets a mention, but Steve Edge, he punched Steve Edge. I think Gary Hambly, he punched Gary Hambly earlier in the game, and it was about the 77th minute, and it was a bit of a swinging arm to Mick Cronin, but that's the one everyone remembers.
Great mates, supposedly.
Yeah, well, they would have been.
We've got Margaret on the line. Margaret, good morning.
Good morning. I love your show, boys. I really enjoy it.
Thanks, Margaret.
Good on you, Margaret.
Thank you. I thought, what about the Great White Shark and Chris Everett?
Oh.
They didn't last too long, did
they?
Didn't.
That's about 18 months, wasn't it, I think?
Gee, they beat me.
Hang on, Margaret.
How long was yours?
36 years, so 36. Not too bad.
That's a good knock.
36 years, as my dad used to say to my mum,
you get left for murder. No, you've got to be careful, Jim.
Hey, Margaret, settle down.
Hey, Margaret, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll send you out Human Nature, give me some loving, and that'll sell you right down. You'll love that.
Oh, very good. Thank you, boys. I'd love to have that.
On your way, Margaret, so hang on
fantastic.
The line.
Yeah.
Thanks a million.
Stay
Margaret.
On the line and keep listening too, Margaret. We do appreciate that.
36 years, that's a good knock, isn't it?
You're going to love this one.
Yeah.
This one's from Master Monkey. It's my wedding anniversary also, Ray. Yes, 4 happy years. I actually got married in 1971. 4 of them were happy.
That's very, very good. He is very, very funny, isn't he?
We're going to go to a break.
Sky Sports Radio has Tab Talk every morning at 10. Racing, sports, guests galore, and the all-important Tab Markets. Join the Tab Talk family every morning on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Everybody's talking at me.
When it comes to cars, everyone thinks they're an expert. But the real motoring experts, who judge Australia's best car awards, recently chose the Hyundai Accent as Australia's best light car. The Accent came out on top in value, design, and on-road performance. And from just $15,990 drive away, you get a 5-star ANCAP safety rating, Bluetooth, and iPod connectivity. Talk to your local dealer about the awarded Hyundai Accent today.
Have any of you seen Rudolph? Come on, you guys deliver results at the track. He delivers joy at Christmas.
Here at Tab, we're borrowing Rudolph for an incredible Christmas in July giveaway. There are iPads, iPhones, laptops, gift cards and more in the prize sack. To enter, simply register with Tab Rewards today by signing up at your local Tab. Or if you're already a member, visit tabrewards.com.au.
Visit tabrewards.com.au for T's and C's. New South Wales permit number LTPS 1604656. Gamble responsibly.
The Champion Stakes and lift up the fight.
International Racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
So we've worked out that Master Monkey's been married for 45 years and had 4 happy ones. So fantastic, Master Monkey. ZNZ Jewelers has
his
been
wife, isn't it?
She's done well to hang around for 40, hasn't she? Like, seriously.
Half full glass.
Yeah. ZZ Jewelers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source. They've apparently been 20 happy years, too, for ZZ Jewelers, too, unlike Master Monkey's marriage. They've been the official source of the NRL watches and rings. ZZ were the original designers and makers of the grand final rings for 17 years. So, if you want the official watch of your team, or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want your jewellery remodelled or repair, do what the NRL does. See Alan at ZNZ Westfield Hurstville or visit zenz.com.au. That's ZEDNZED.com.au. They are the proud sponsors of the Parramatta Eels and the St. George Junior Referees.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
A lot of people contributing this talk topic, Jimmy, but here's one from Greg from Yagoona. Worth just relaying this to you, Jim. Jimmy and Ray, I have just one question. Why do people think that Robbie Farah has the God-given right to play first grade?
The great Jack Gibson used to say, nothing's permanent and nothing's temporary when it comes to selections.
Mm.
You keep playing well, you stay, and if you don't play well, no matter who you are, you're out of the side.
Yep.
I think there's more than just the playing involved in it, but as you say, Roman, it will be very interesting to come kick off at 4 o'clock this afternoon. That's a big game, Dragons up against the Tigers.
It is, yeah. Look, Greg from Magoo has just chimed in again, but I cannot possibly read that one.
Okay, it takes a little bit longer for mine to come through.
No.
But, morning, boys. My biggest droppings was the Terry Fernley dropping of 5 Queenslanders from the Kangaroos game 3 versus New Zealand in 1985 after the Roos won the first 2 tests. That's guess what? We got beat. You can count on a Queenslander. That's from Brett up there at Broadbeach. Was it 4 or 5?
I remember that.
Greg Dowling was one of them, and then he went and gave
drama,
a spray. Because Terry Fernley was the New South Wales coach and the Australian coach.
That's right.
And I think that was the last time they ever let that happen.
That's right. It was amazing, wasn't it? Hey, talk of amazing. This horse just keeps winning, Jim. King's Officer, 4 from 4. The swimmer. And Terry Robinson, the trainer, has done a super job with King's Officer. He's been good enough to join us this morning. Terry, good morning. And, well, how's he pulled up? And can he go for 5?
Hey, good morning, Ray, Jim. Well, he's pulled up terrific. I just fed him and he's looking for his feed. So, yeah, really happy with it, the way he's pulled up. Thanks, Ray.
And he's just kept stepping through the grades, Terry, getting better and better. And I think it sort of encouraged you to continue with this preparation. Do you have any thoughts about, you know, where you might go next and when there might be an end to it?
Well, look, his runs have been amazing, as you say. Like, some of his performance has been absolutely top class. So, look, there is a nice race for him at Randwick in 2 weeks' time, a mile race. All going well, if he does well, as I expect him to do in the meantime, we'll probably go around.
Terry, I know you've said he just needed time and maturity, but is it like a flicking a switch with a horse sometimes when all the things, the planets start to align and they just strike the form like this horse has struck this prep?
Well, you're probably right, Ray. I think there's a couple of factors that have worked for him. Certainly maturity, that's for sure. He's done so much better, and I think just changing his routine just a little bit where he doesn't get ridden very much now. He only gets to saddle on when he fast works, and I think he appreciates that, the change. So he's a very good winded horse, and things are working like that. And obviously handles are wet, which is a huge thing this time of year.
How do you find that out, Terry, about whether the horse, you know, needs the saddle on it or not? Do you experiment a lot with that? Do you ride him a fair bit and then back it off and just check how the times are, check how the performances are?
Well, look, they're all different, Jim. Just found he can be a little bit highly strung and a little bit cranky, so probably the fact that the saddle's off his back has made him I think he's a happier horse.
That's right.
And you know, he's a rising 6-year-old now, and I think even though, you know, he hasn't been over raced, I think it goes well towards his future when you haven't got to do a lot with a horse like him.
True,
Nate, prolong his racing career, and certainly makes it easier to train too.
Yeah, well, whatever it is, Terry, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, because the horse is flying at the moment. Lovely ride yesterday, wasn't it, Terry? Tommy Berry said after the race he wanted to follow who he thought was the main danger, McCreary, and he just gave King's Officer the drop on that horse, and he, again, that finishing burst, sits 4 times in a row now.
That is, and as you say, Tommy's certainly a great ride. You know, that's why you put these boys on. They are the best. And look, he can take a handy position up. Look, most of the time the horse is raced, he's drawn the outside, and, you know, when you don't have a lot of gate speed, you haven't got much option but to go back. But if he jumps, he can hold his own. So, you know, you may see him race a little bit handier in future if he does happen to draw a good marble.
We're talking about being dropped today, Terry. I don't want to know whether you've heard any of the program in light of Robbie Farah being dropped from the West Tigers, but you dropped Kobe Jennings, really, for Tommy Berry.
Tenuous link.
Well, no, there's a little bit of a link. Can you give us an understanding around, I suppose, if Tommy's available, you take the best available?
Oh, look, really, got down the track. He only has 55 and a half yesterday, Jim. So,
right.
And yeah, Kobe can't ride that, can he?
Look, his next start depends how they benchmark him. It's a 78 next start, and he could end up with 60 kilos. So, you know, I think you'll probably find Kobe back on here, giving him a bit of weight.
Yeah. So you'll drop Tommy.
I don't think Tommy would be happy either.
Just finally, Terry Rosa, man, I know you were worried about the track conditions and everything for her yesterday. But it was a competitive run and she should bounce through that okay?
Yeah, Tommy was really happy with her. Like she, and they came home the fastest last three of the day. There just wasn't quite enough speed in the races, you know, when the pilot gear came out, which probably took away a little bit of the speed. And he was really happy the way she found the line. He just sort of goes more speed on. She would have definitely been in the finish. And she did. He thought she would got through it all right. We do know she's better on top of the ground, but look, we're not going to strike that this time of the year. I've already spelled a couple of my horses that don't handle it, but at least she got through it, so I'll probably find another race for her soon.
Well, congratulations on the form that King's Officer has been displaying. Another race in a couple of weeks' time. We'll keep an eye out for him in that one as well. And really appreciate your time this morning, Terry.
Thanks very much, Jim.
Thanks, Terry.
Terry Robinson there, trainer of King's Officer. It's amazing how that you find whatever works for the horse and then you get them rolling and why stop it?
They get in the zone.
Why stop it? Yeah, I think the quote from Terry was, well, you know, I was going to rest him after the first couple of wins and then I thought, well, why not?
Yeah,
keep going.
Horses flying.
Owners would be happy. Owners would be happy. 13:53:53. I tell you, some good ones coming through around jockeys that have been dropped for horses. And here's one, Jimmy and Rowe. Not sure if he was dropped, but Brett Pebble taken off Maccabi Diva for Glenn Boss. That's from Stuart. Do you remember that, Ray?
Yeah, well, I think Brett rode the mare early in her career. But Glenn was on her when she was still with David Hall and won the first Melbourne Cup. Was with under Glenn Boss, and when the horse went to Lee Friedman, Glenn stayed on the horse, obviously, and won three Melbourne Cups on her, three of the great Melbourne Cup rides, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe Janiak dropping regular rider of Takeover Target Jay Ford for Nashra Willer in 2009 TJ Smith Stakes. That's from John at Moorbank.
That happened, yeah. Then Jay got back on the horse after that, but no, it definitely happened. And Nash did win the TJ on Takeover Target that day.
Manly Man Al's come in with boys. What about when Carlotta dropped Ricky Ponting at the Bermuda Beef Stake in the cross? And then he got dropped from the Aussie side. That's a good point, Manly Man Al.
That was Carlotta.
He did.
Was it Carlotta?
No, wasn't it? He was dancing with Carlotta.
Something like that.
Is that how it went? He was dancing with Carlotta, and then he came and he had a black eye. Turned his life around, from that point, Ricky Ponting. Absolutely.
Yep.
What are you laughing at? 13:53:53, the open line number. Let's go. Reg is on the line. G'day, Reg.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, how are you, Reg?
Thanks for calling, Reg.
I'm in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I'm going back a long while. My son is a schoolboy.
Yeah.
In 1943, Lenny Smith captained Newtown, played against the Great Britain side in 1946.
Right.
On a tour to England, he was dropped, not to go, and a chap called Col Maxwell, who was playing with Western Suburbs second grade, was picked.
Okay.
That would be a great, an Australian captain dropped.
I can't remember reading about this. Yeah.
What tour was that, Reg?
That would be the first tour after the war.
Yeah.
So 1946.
Gus Brisbane brought the English side out in 1946.
Oh, okay.
And
so
I think Gus Brisbane also played with his son, not with him, but might against him. But anyhow, it's going back a long way.
No, it's a beauty. Yeah.
I was still at school. I don't think there's anyone better. It wasn't on football. It was on religious grounds, I think.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. Kangaroo tour of 1948. Now, I reckon there's a couple of blokes from Cootamundra who were on that tour. Neville Hand and Fred DeBellin.
Okay, yeah.
Both Cootamundra guys are on that tour. And I vaguely remember there was the famous
the
dropping,
the
Len Smith.
Yeah.
Len Smith. That's a great nomination,
Reg. I
haven't
read about that, yeah.
Yeah, great nomination. That's taking us back. We appreciate that. 13:53:53, that number. Anthony's on the line. G'day, Anthony.
Good morning, boys. Listen, I might have a couple of examples of guys who played for Australia 1 week and then couldn't couldn't go back and ask their replacement back in their club side when they went back.
Yeah.
Gary Dowling, when he played for Australia, fullback for Australia, and then young Neil Hunt replaced him at Parramatta, and when you come back to Parramatta, Neil Hunt kept his spot.
Okay. Right.
And Marty Roebuck played fullback for the Wallabies, and when he went back to Eastwood, young Matthew Burke kept his spot.
I remember Marty Roebuck, oh. Yeah. I can't remember Gary Dowling. I don't doubt you at all, Anthony, but I remember Marty Roebuck, yeah.
Did Marty Roebuck play fullback for Australia, or he was on the wing?
No, I think he was playing fullback for Australia, and then when he went back to Eastwood, Matthew Burke replaced him, and Matthew Burke kept his spot, and I think Roebuck had to move elsewhere. I'm not sure. I think Gary Dowling went back to reserve grade. I'm not so sure Matty Burke went elsewhere.
Yeah, good ones. Yeah,
Gary Dowling might have been that reserve grade side you said won the comp.
Did Gary Dowling play for Parramatta? I thought he played for the Bulldogs.
980. Yeah, he played for the Bulldogs. He was mainly for the Bulldogs. I think he finished his career at Parramatta. He played 980, I think it was.
Okay. Coach.
Good one.
Yeah right. Okay. Fantastic. Yeah.
Saying the line there, Anthony. Yeah. Just great rock songs coming out your way. That's a good one, Jimmy, wasn't it?
Well, Ray, I've got to say, this talk topic's a good one.
Yeah.
It's absolutely outstanding. Going gangbusters. We're going to have to go to a break, though. We've got Zorb coming up. We'll ask Zorb about it. He'll remember some times when players have been dropped. 1353-53, the open line number. It's the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Ray and Jimmy.
Tab Talk, every morning at 10 on Sky Sports Radio, has the right mixture for a winning day. Interviews with trainers and jockeys for the day's racing.
I thought you said all of it.
He wants a winner.
I'm not saying he wants a winner. He likes to know everything.
Plus all the very latest on NRL, AFL, international sports, and of course, the latest markets. Come and join the Tab Talk family. Every morning at 10 on your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
For the best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda Centre is family owned and operated with the best selection and the best prices on all new Mazdas, including the VT50. The VT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque and more comfort. Come and see the VT50 specialists at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith with over 40 VT50s on display. Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
Many of you seen Rudolph? Come on, you guys deliver results at the track. He delivers joy at Christmas.
Here at Tab, we're borrowing Rudolph for an incredible Christmas in July giveaway. There are iPads, iPhones, laptops, gift cards and more in the prize sack. To enter, simply register with Tab Rewards today by signing up at your local Tab. Or if you're already a member, visit tabrewards.com.au.
Visit tabrewards.com.au for T's and C's. New South Wales permit number LTPS 1604656. Gamble responsibly.
Jamie Goddard dropping Andrew Johns after the kettle dog call. That's dog breath.
This one. G'day again, boys. What about John Daly, who dropped his fortune on gambling, alcohol and women? He just wasted everything. Cheers.
No, that's not what he says. That's not how he says it.
Mm.
Yeah, he said, John Daly dropped his fortune on gambling, alcohol and women, and the rest of the money he said to have just wasted.
Mm.
Yeah, oh.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Gamble responsibly, is that exactly what you wanted to add there. Yeah. Apparently Australian-owned and family-operated business, Garlow's Pies are the best premium quality pies. You know what? I was in the ACT yesterday.
What, did you send me that text with a picture of Garlow's Pies?
Yeah. There you go. They're all down in Canberra there. The difference with the Garlow's Pies is deliciously flaky pastry on top. A bottom which is rolled extra thin and filling full of only 100% lean Aussie beef. These pies, they are bursting with flavour. Garlow's Pies are available in all Coles and IGA stores. Coles and IGA stores. And remember, if you can't find them, please ask for Garlow's Pies by name. That'll mean the store manager will get them in the store. And remember, they're in McDonald's in the Canberra region. In fact, outside the Canberra region. They told us they're at Sutton Forest,
too.
Yes, it's a fair way from Canberra. A magnificent range including lean beef, curry beef and chicken breast pies, plus Garlow's selection of family pies, Cornish pasties, junior pies and world-famous sausage rolls, just to name a few. Garlow's Pies. They don't last till Sunday, I know that. They're thin on pastry, they are big on meat.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to the show. Now that the man's here, Jimmy Peter Zorba Peters. Pete, good morning.
Morning, Ray. Morning, Jimmy.
Hey, Zorb.
Hey, Pete. We'll go back to Thursday.
Rugby league. Can I throw up some stories week after week, day after day?
We'll get to Robbie Farah in a sec, but can I take you back to Thursday night? I mentioned to Jimmy earlier. Mm. Has there been a more complete performance than the Cowboys put on the Bulldogs on Thursday night all season?
Very good, weren't they? And the kicking game of Jonathan Thurston, well, he just had it on a string, and he didn't have to play the full game. that hamstring injury. Let's hope it's not serious, because that can derail their season. But they went on with it, even though we left. But, gee, they were poor, the Bulldogs. They were as bad as I've seen a Bulldog side.
I don't think Des will take him to Cairns for 4 days again.
I'm sure he won't. No. And I'm sure he'll review that decision to take them up there to Cairns. A lot of players in that team that have got young children, and being away from home, they had a bye the week before, and then being away from home before a game like that, don't know whether it goes down too well.
Mm. All right, Panthers beat the Broncos on Friday night too. I love the football that's in the Panthers, Zorb, but there's got to be question marks around the Broncos now and their capacity to be a contender in this competition, I think.
Well, for Anthony Griffin, it was a hell of a win, wasn't it?
Mm.
I mean, that's 8 out of 10. My stats are showing me that Anthony Griffin has beaten Wayne Bennett in their coaching careers. Now, that Broncos side's in real trouble. Their halves are just not the halves that we saw 12 months ago. They're not igniting games like they were. As a matter of fact, Anthony Milford, to me, looks as though he's put on a kilo or two. He just doesn't look the same player, and teams are really shutting him out. His performance and the performance of the halfback, I thought, were pretty ordinary. And they completely got outplayed by that young Panthers duo, who, and of course you got a second row playing 5'8" here in Bryce Cartwright. I thought it was a terrific win for Penrith, but they're going to be in worse trouble too, the Broncos. I thought there was a hell of a cheap shot by Josh Maguire to the head of a Panthers player.
Yeah.
He got penalised. He wasn't put on report, but I'm sure he will be, and he'll have a case to answer, and he'll go for a couple.
Mm. Yeah, I think absolutely agree with you on that one. I just wanted Ben Hunt. It was about the 35th minute or 33rd minute, and he did a short dropout. They ended up getting a penalty against him because it didn't go. It was just a strange decision to go. It sort of revealed that they'd lost a bit of confidence in what they were doing, in my mind.
It smacked of panic.
Yeah,
didn't
it? I mean,
that's what you do when you need a try in the last couple of minutes. You've got to chance your arm, but not at that stage of the game and not with the score line that was there.
Nah.
The Broncos fans are not used to their side getting lapped like they have been on their last couple of occasions there at Suncorp Stadium. And I reckon there's going to be some question marks asked there, and I don't know whether it's coincidental or not, but ever since Wayne Bennett announced that he was going to coach England, he's been to England and back, and a few other things that have happened there, I just wonder whether or not there's a little bit of pressure on Clint Eastwood.
Good point. Hey, Pete, this issue's polarised the rugby league community. Robbie Farah, and we saw some emotional scenes yesterday. He's an extremely popular player with the club faithful. What's your take on the Farah issue at West Tigers?
Well, I don't know where the Tigers go here. The club board is obviously right behind their coach, and the coach has made it clear that he doesn't think Robbie Farah should be in the side.
Mm.
Now, that's the coach's right, but you're dealing with a legend here. There's no easy way out for the club. My question is this. What on earth, at a time like this, is the CEO, Justin Pascoe, doing on holidays in Southeast Asia, mid-season, the side battling for a final spot, the biggest, probably outside of Parramatta, the biggest problem in the game with one of their legendary players, and he's away on holidays? That doesn't add up to me.
Mm.
If I was on the board of West Tigers, I'd be saying, get your backside back here now and help us through this issue. That's your job.
Smacks of when Dave Moffat was the boss of the CEO at the NRL and he went on a bicycle tour around Europe.
Mm. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Am I wrong on this?
No. Holiday time after the grand finals.
Yeah. Well, you don't have your holidays in the season.
Exactly.
It's like you, Ray, as turf editor of the Daily Telegraph, going on holidays with the Melbourne Cup's on.
Totally. It just can't be done.
It's exactly the same.
You just can't book your holidays. That's simple as that, then.
So I'll ask you this, Zorb. If you were the coach of the West Tigers, and knowing what you know, and as a result of not being in the club, we don't know everything, knowing what you know, would Robbie Farah be in your side?
Well, that's a hard question, because I don't know what Robbie Farah, what Jason Taylor knows that we don't know.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, obviously, he's popular with his teammates, so it's nothing to do with that. I mean, you saw the captain there yesterday. sitting on the hill or in the grandstand.
Mm.
Former players are rallying behind him. They've been told not to talk about it. It's a situation I don't think anyone can win. Farah's going to be the only winner in the end.
Yeah, now polarising.
Tigers can't win. I tell you what's irked me all week, boys. I want to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
7 weeks for Charlie Gubb for a shoulder charge in torrential rain in Perth. It wasn't as bad as we've seen. He gets 7 weeks. He's on about 100 to 120,000 a year, I understand. How do you equate that with 8 weeks given to Corey Norman for drug possession, being involved in a sex tape, bringing the game into disrepute? He's on over 600,000 a year. He cops 1 week more. I can't equate that. I think it's wrong. Those differences in what they have done is not equated in 1 week's difference in suspension.
You know what I think, Zorp? Now, let's remember that you're saying Corey Norman's on $600,000 and he is now being fined $20,000. Mitchell Pearce was fined $125,000. I would fine him 8/24 of his salary. So I'd fine him 1/3 of his salary because that's how many games he's missing. So that's $200,000. I can't believe how light he got off from a fine point of view.
No, well, and also, I want our listeners to know that he gets paid on the 15th of every month, regardless of whether he plays or not now.
Yep. Yep.
Mm. He still fronts up for his pay. So that $20,000 is not a massive fine for him. I agree with you, Jimmy. But I feel sorry for Charlie Gubb, who's a no-name player, does his job. Okay, steps outside the line a little bit, but gives as good as he takes.
Yep.
Shoulder charge, in those conditions, you know,
I think you've got to allow for the conditions a little bit too.
It was as bad as I've ever seen them.
Mm. I can't believe, knowing what was at stake, I can't believe they challenged it.
No, I can't either.
Because it was an easy kill. You know, no one's going to blow up too much about Charlie Gubb getting rubbed out. And I just couldn't believe that they took it on. But anyway, now he's out until the semi-finals. They may not make the semi-finals. Mm. They've lost again in Golden Point. I'll tell you what, they can put on a Golden Point show, the Warriors.
Yeah, they can, but they can't win, Manny.
No. Mm.
They came back from the dead again yesterday to snatch a draw right on full time. Great conversion from the sideline. And then went into extra time, and then the Raiders found a way again.
Yeah. Pete, what do you make of Canberra? They sort of snuck under everyone's radar. They're up into the top four now. They're sort of lurking dangerously, aren't they?
Well, I look at who's not in the side, and if a side like Canberra can leave out a front rower like Paul Vaughan, who plenty of other clubs would give their eye teeth for, then they've got a football side. Now, Ricky has just built that side up over the last 12, 14 months, and he's got a football side now that can really make them. They can score tries, and they're starting to show that they've got a little bit of inner strength in them too. I think they can cause some upsets in the finals, and they're right now they're sitting inside the top four, so that's a great comeback for them. But with Vaughan not making the side shows you how strong they are.
No, I agree. Now, the Lebanese Cucumbers, as you call them, they've got two games for the World Cup in Sydney. Who do we apportion blame towards that Sydney doesn't have more matches?
Well, it comes down to the state government, and I don't know how hard it was lobbied for Sydney to get games, but I would have thought that we could have had a bit better than what we've been given. But having said that, we do get spoilt because we're the heartbeat of the big games. And look, I don't have a problem. I enjoyed the last World Cup going all over England, and it was fantastic, and it was played in some places that don't normally get top class rugby league. I can't complain too much because we haven't really supported those events in the past.
Government should have coughed up.
Well, they should have, and when you see what they've coughed up for, a potato show in Crookwell. I've been to Crookwell, and you can't blink because you miss it.
And listen, I saw Phil Rothfield's article today in the paper. I can't be critical of the Barrel Tulip Festival because my mum goes down there and helps sell the scones in the canteen for the Country Women's
that
Association.
Gets a kick, Jim,
so.
Yeah, well, I can imagine you tiptoeing through the tulip barrel. I want to say, too, Parramatta couldn't have a better bloke in charge than Max Donnelly. He will straighten that club out, and those people out there the people hanging on aren't going to know what hit them when Max starts. I mean, I was at the Northern Eagles when he was representing the North Sydney Bears when they were wound up, and he loves his rugby league. But he's a tough, tough man.
Yeah, right.
He's dealt with some tough people, and those people out there will be pussycats compared to what he's dealt with. And I see he's already cleaned out a few, and there'll be plenty more to come.
Well, that's what they need.
They do need that, unfortunately, but I think it's the start of what can become, they can become great again. They've always had had issues, and unfortunately, it's come to this point now. Brad Arthur's come through it well, and I think he's made a good impression on Max Donnelly. I thought they were brave again last night against a very good Titan side. They certainly are not stopping to try and win games, and they tried really hard last night against a good Titan side that are surprising everyone. Who would have believed that the Titans would be 2 points behind the Broncos at this stage of the year?
Yeah, in the top 8 years. Is Zappa's up?
My Zappa's, I think the Sharks today. I really don't like players. I know he's got a problem, the coach, in keeping the players up to the mark, and they've had a lot of football, but players going to Port Douglas midweek, missing training and then coming back for the captain's run, going to Fiji, coming back. I just don't think that's like, if you're going to give them a break, give them a break. But I don't agree with that, and I don't know how they're going to play. Luckily, they're playing the Knights today at home, because it could have backfired, and I suppose that went into Flanagan's decision to let them go. But I really don't like the look of that.
Can they cover the 24.5?
No.
No, okay.
Okay, the Tigers, well, this is going to be a massive game now. I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
Dragons against the Tigers. The Dragons, everyone's calling for the CEO's head and the coach's head there at the Dragons. They're calling for the coach's head at the Tigers. One of those coaches today is going to get the result they want, but the other one is going to be under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And I think the Tigers have got the brilliance to win that one, and the Dragons have been awful of late. But if ever they've got a game to play for, this is it. And tomorrow night, South versus Manly at Allianz, I think the Sea Eagles will make a 3 in a row.
All right, so you're going to go Newcastle plus 24.5.
Yep.
Into the Tigers minus 5.5.
Yep.
Into Manly minus 2.5.
Yep.
All right, we like that. That's good. $1.80, $1.90, $1.90.
Okay, yeah, boys, have a great week.
Go on, Pete. We'll speak next Sunday. There he is, Peter Peters, with all his thoughts on the game of rugby league. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more. Oh, but before we do take the break, call now, 1353 53, if you would like to be a part of the Z&Z quiz. Win a team 15-14 watch in the team colours of your choice. 15-14, that is the game updated score there. Call now, 1353 53.
Sky Sports Radio has racing covered from all angles. Get the latest trots action every Tuesday morning at 10:30 with On The Pace. Interviews with trainers and drivers. Tips for the feature racing. On The Pace, every Tuesday morning at 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
Gallows Pies, an all-Australian-owned, family-operated business using 100% Australian lean Aussie beef and bursting with flavour in all Coles and IGA stores. And if you can't find them, you ask for Gallows by name. The difference with a Gallows Pie is the deliciously flaky pastry on top and a bottom which is rolled extra thin. They are my favourite pies.
Hey, Mum, don't forget the Gallows.
Hey, Dolls, don't forget me, love.
You tell them, kiddo. At Gallows Pies,
we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
What you really need is a four-door standard.
I reckon you can't go wrong with a four-wheel drive.
With a heated leather seat.
Go for the car with the biggest cup holder.
Big cup. When it comes to cars, every man and his dog thinks they're experts. But the real motoring experts, the ones who judge Australia's best car awards, recently chose the Hyundai i30 as Australia's best small car for an incredible sixth time. Right now, you can get Australia's favourite car, the Hyundai i30, from just $20,990 drive away. Talk to your Hyundai dealer today.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
All right, gee, the board lit up, didn't it?
It did.
We've got Justin and Jason, both from Newcastle.
Both Novocastrians,
so
head to
like
head.
At least someone from Newcastle is going to have a win today, it would seem. So hopefully it's Justin, because you're up
chance
first.
Against the Sharks. They almost knocked off the Storm a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, at home.
Yeah, this is at Shark Park.
Yeah, Shark Park. Hey, Justin.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Yeah, really well. I need you to fire up here, mate.
Oh, give it me best shot, mate.
Here we go. Who do the Knights play in the NRL today? Is it the Sharks, the Panthers, or the Broncos?
Sharks.
Yeah, nice. Nice, easy start. Thanks, producer Jeremy. Who scored the first try in the Cowboys' win over the Bulldogs last Thursday night? Was it Justin O'Neill, Antonio Winterstein, or Ethan Lowe?
Winterstein.
Nice one. Good performance from the Cows. Question three. Which of these players had recorded the most try assist entering round 20? Was it Ben Barber, James Tedesco, or Gareth Widdop?
Benny Barber.
Yeah, oh, rock solid set. Well done. Good work, Justin.
Jason, you there?
I'm there.
Jason, got some good news and some bad news for you. What do you want first? You need to get all three, mate. So, look, best of luck. But here we go, Jason. Who do the Rabbitohs play in the NRL on Monday night? Is it this... Good solid start. Good solid start, Jason. Question number two. Which of these players had made the most tackles entering round 20? Cameron Smith, Ryan James, or Elliot Whitehead?
Elliot Whitehead.
Oh, rock solid, Jason. Well done. Okay, this is the tie, Jason. Which of these teams was highest on the ladder entering round 20? The Bulldogs, the Cowboys, or the Raiders?
Cowboys.
Yeah, it was the Bulldogs. Yeah, they've slipped down, haven't they? Down.
Just a minute on that.
Jimmy's questioning. Hang on, Jace.
Just a minute on that.
Jimmy's questioning.
According to Big League Magazine...
hang on, Jace.
North Queens.
Tiebreaker.
Cowboys is correct. Well done, Jace.
Our deepest apologies. Producer Jeremy has just... Well, he's wobbled into the studio and said that he got it wrong. So
that's okay. We're still in the game. So 3-3.
Now, hang on. Is this fair on Justin? He didn't get any wrong.
But neither did Jason.
Right. So who did get it wrong? Producer Jeremy's right.
Okay, Jason, here's a tiebreaker question, mate. Best of luck. What is the current tennis world ranking of Russian Svetlana Kuznetsova? Did I say it right, Jim?
Pretty close.
Yeah. Current world tennis ranking.
Yeah, do I get any choices?
You just got to give a number. Between 1 and 1,000.
Sorry, who was it again?
Yeah, current tennis world ranking of Russian Svetlana Kuznetsova. Nick, I can't pronounce
Kuznetsova.
It.
Kuznetsova.
That's it. Thanks, Jim.
20.
Okay.
Stay on the line, Jace.
Stay there, Jace.
Okay, Justin.
Justin, there. Big decision here. Big decision. What is the current tennis world ranking of Russian Svetlana Kuznetsova?
12.
Jason. Oh, courage under
bad
pressure.
Luck. Justin's got through in the crunch.
He could have gone for 19. He went for 12. Well done, Justin. Deserved winner, I've got to say.
She's 10, by the way.
Yeah, she's 10. Yeah. Deserved winner. Well done, mate. Where's your team?
The Tigers.
Oh, the Tigers. Oh, big game for you this afternoon,
Justin. Robbie Farah been dropped?
No way in the world.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we'll have a Tigers watch out to you, courtesy of Alan and the team of Z&Z. Stay on the line, mate. We'll get your address and we'll have you all sorted.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Justin.
All right, good on you, Justin. Appreciate that.
Bad luck for Jason. Bad luck.
It was bad luck for Jason. Jeremy, back to the drawing board. Jeremy needs, I'll say one thing, needs work.
On your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Ray and Jimmy, what about Anthony Mundine dropping off Sonny Bill Williams at Sydney Airport in 2008 to walk out halfway through his contract with the Bulldogs? Cheers, John from Moorbank. Just to clarify that, John, he was actually only into the first year of a 5-year deal. Yeah. So he wasn't quite halfway through his contract. Zorba! The government putting in more taxpayer funds, my backside. What about the NRL putting in some of their billions, Dungog Dragon? No, disagree, Dungog Dragon. Get the governments to pay for them. They're prepared to pay for them in other locales. So the fact that the New South Wales government didn't want to chip in, I think the Rugby League World Cup, one of their things they need to do is make a profit. If they can make a profit, it means money for developing nations.
How did that happen, Jim? How didn't Sydney get more games? It's just... It is just so wrong.
You'd have to ask Premier Mike Baird and Sports Minister Stuart Ayres. 1353 53, the open line number. Time now to say good morning for the first time and a very happy wedding anniversary.
For tomorrow.
And you've also got the scratching
in New South Wales. I do indeed. Racing in New South Wales today at Hawkesbury and Coffs Harbour. First with Hawkesbury, where the weather is fine. The track is soft 7. Now the rail is out 3 metres from the 1300 to the winning post. True the remainder. Penetrometer 5.25, 16 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Out of race 2, take out 2, Just William and 8, Chavo. 2 and 8. Race 3, number 1, Schopenhauer. 5, Moving Target. 1 and 5 from race 3. Out of race 4, number 8, Brittany. 10, Lady Chalfon, and 15 in position, 8, 10, and 15. Race 5, number 8, Denman Flyer, 9, Cosmic Powers, and 11, Fountains, 8, 9, 11. Out of the 6, number 1, Bellridge, 3, Lynn's Watching, 4, Park Bench, and 16, Dantrist, 1, 3, 4, and 16. Race 7, take out 10, Got to Think, number 10. And out of the 8, number 6, Sayonara, number 6 from race 8 at Hawkesbury. To Coffs Harbour, the weather fine, the track a soft 6, rail out 2 metres, the 1400 to the 1000, and then 6 metres from the 1000 to the 350, true the remainder, and 20 scratchings at Coffs Harbour today. Out of the first, take out 6, Sound of the Pound, 7, Defrost, 17, Adam Will Do, and 18, Bold Chloe. 6, 7, 17, and 18. Race 2, number 1, Jimmy B, 14, Lingering Love, 15, Departure Tax, and 16, Fred. 1, 14, 15, and 16. Race 3, take out 12, Just Imagine, and 14, Black Eye Warrior. 12 and 14 from the third. Out of the fourth, number 13, Eddie Would Go, and 14, Manage. 13 and 14 from the fourth. To race 5, number 9, Mr. Burgess. 11, Accelero. 14, Mizar Alcor. 17, CD Prince, and 18, Embrace. 9, 11, 14, 17, and 18. To race 6, number 7, Hamoon Boy, number 7 from the 6th. Out of the 7th, number 13, Jack Strikes Back, number 13. And race 8, number 9, Clifton House, number 9 from race 8 at Coffs Harbour. Raimondo.
Yeah, a couple of tips today, guys. Race 4, number 1, Kings of Leon, ready to win, trained by Matthew Smith. Just little mention, Jimmy, Matty Smith's got an open day at his stables at Warwick Farm next Sunday, the day before the horse's birthday. So
okay.
Or everyone's welcome to go out there.
He's very good, isn't he? Very good year he's having Matty Smith.
Great year, and he'll have a couple of horses there that possible for syndication as well.
Oh, okay.
Race 5, number 6, Hollywood Mistress, bet of the day at Hawkesbury. And at Coffs Harbour, race 4, number 1, Mr. Snowman.
So there you go. How you been going with your tips with your racing on a Sunday?
Both won at Corowa last Sunday.
Did they?
And the Panthers got up
at
to me
what
as well.
Price?
One of them was a good price, yeah, about $6.
Okay, and you got the Panthers 1 to 12
yes.
too. I said 13 plus, but you said 1 to 12, got that right. Knew your Panthers better than I did.
That's a good game, wasn't it?
You didn't get
Sunday
a 13 plus on Friday night, did you?
No, I didn't, no.
That would have been a good one. Yeah. Hey, time now to get our first question for the Event Cinemas quiz, courtesy of Prakash and the team out there at Event Cinemas at Parramatta. What do we got? We've got the double pass for the VMAX, haven't we?
Yep, double pass VMAX Event Cinemas, Jimmy.
Okay, here's the first question. How many years has Master Monkey been happily married? For how many years has Master... We don't know whether Mrs. Monkey has been married for the same number of happy years.
Ah.
She might be even less.
Maybe she can tell us.
Well, how many years has Master Monkey been happily married? So that's your first question of your three-question quiz. So stick around for that one. You've got another couple of questions coming up after the 8 o'clock news. A lot of people making mention of this one. I wasn't aware of it, Ray. Frank's done it on Twitter. A number of people have done it via SMS. Kevin Sheedy dropped Derek Kickett for the grand final, even though he played every game that year. The other one was, I think he
in
played every game the year before, in 93.
Yeah.
So he played every game in 92, every game in 93, and then Kevin Sheedy dropped him for the grand final.
And they won.
So how does that hurt?
Sheed's right call.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, absolutely. Now let's go to the call. It's 1353 is the open line number. John is on the line there. Wants to talk some racing. G'day, John.
Good morning.
Morning, John.
How are you, Ray?
Terrific, mate. How can we help you?
Ray, it's your topic this morning.
prompted this question.
Yeah.
I knew a jockey years and years ago called Jack Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew his brother also, and he confirmed that Jack rode Farlap in his early race, and he was dropped for Jimmy Pike. I'm wondering if you can confirm that. I know it's a long, long way time ago.
If anyone could, John, it'd be Ray Thomas.
That's why I rang.
I will confirm it for you in an ad break. I wish I had my books here with me, but he had a couple of early riders, didn't he, John? And Jimmy Pike didn't get onto the horse until, I think it was, the Rose Hill Guineas as a three-year-old.
Right.
But I will check on that for you and get back to you. So stay listening, John. I'll definitely find out for you, mate.
Okay. Thanks very much, Ray.
No worries, John.
Good on you. We appreciate that. Thanks for the call on that one, John. Here's some interesting ones. What about Tiger Woods dropped by a three-iron held by his ex? Aiden, hey, this is from Aiden, the puffed-out dragon. Stick solid, Aiden. Stick solid. You got to hang in there. Here's another one. What possible drama will hit O'Connell Street next, boys? Now we're talking Parramatta.
Yep.
O'Connell Street, Parramatta.
Mm-hmm.
We've had everything bar an earthquake and a premiership this year. Well done, Corey. You got off very, very light. That's from Sparky, the Sparky Eels. And here's one. Remember when Robbie Kearns got dropped by that horse in Origin camp?
Yeah, that's right.
Broke his collarbone.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Bradley Clyde fell off a horse in that Origin camp, and he never played Origin again.
Didn't he?
No.
Didn't the bloke used to ride the Steeler horse, didn't he fall off once? Remember that?
Well, the Broncos horse, you mean?
Broncos horse, yeah.
Did he fall off, did he?
I'm pretty sure he fell off once, doing a lap of...
I think it was Buck, isn't it? Buck, the Broncos horse? And now this is a harsh one here. Nothing personal, Ray, but if I were you, I'd drop your hairdresser. It's from George.
Should we send George out a CD for that one?
Hang on a minute. No.
Peter Garrett a version now.
Producer Tanya's saying no.
Yeah, no, she won't.
You know the producers run this show, so no CD for George.
Oh, no, sorry, George. I thought it was funny.
Now, here, we've got Jeff on the line. He might have an answer for us on Farlap. G'day, Jeff.
Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Jeff.
Yeah, I've got some answers on Farlap at 3 years old.
Yeah.
Was ridden by a Jay Simpson.
There you go, good on you.
Warwick Farm in the Denham Court handicap, and he also rode Farlap as a 3 year old in the 3 year old handicap.
Oh, terrific.
1929, Jay Simpson rode him, yes.
Good on you, Jeff. Well, I hope John was listening there and we found out. I was just trying to Google it when you rang, so terrific, Jeff. Thanks so much, mate.
Now, Jeff's the guy you should send a CD to.
Hang on the line there, Jeff. What about just CD? Just great rock songs.